across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listener. This is Ian Lee. It's a bank holiday, so we're going to talk about monkeys being shot. We're going to talk about yetis being shot. And we're going to talk about Alan Caddick being shot. If you want to be the first caller of the night tonight, I would dial now. I can see a Mr. Caddick calling in already. 0844 499 1000. Ian Lee, Talk Radio, TAR.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's hobo style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's hobo style. Tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll want to settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there when we paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Imagine, is this microphone even on? Yeah, it is, okay. Well, this is the thing, we don't know if the microphones are on or not.
This is a very dangerous situation.
This is Ian Lee, this is Talk Radio. Catherine Boyle is in the studio. I don't know what the hell is going to this, is happening to this place. I believe the term is going, where is the phrase going to the dogs comes from?
I guess it's like, you know, scraps from the table, what you chuck to the dogs.
No.
All right.
I reckon it's to do with dog racing, going to the, everything's
yeah, but
going
that's
to,
good.
Well, it's not
people
though,
like
is
that
it? Well, they do like it. Here's the thing. Right. I'd have shot that monkey straight away.
It's not a monkey, it's an ape.
It doesn't matter. I'd have shot that monkey immediately. That's all I needed. That's fine. Don't worry about it. And the text number. Just put the text number down. I don't need all the... basically, the studio, the brand new studio has ballsed up, so the lights don't come on when I talk, and there's just the number, Ed. So all I need is the number. That's all I need is the number. And the screen that would have the information on that, perhaps I should have learnt, has disappeared. But if my 4-year-old was being grabbed by a monkey, give me the gun. I'd have gone in there and I would have jumped in there and fought it. But there's a petition. Over 200,000 people have signed a petition saying the parents should be charged with like manslaughter or something. Now listen, I don't know what happened, but so that makes me perfectly qualified to comment if I were doing it on Twitter. I don't know what happened. I don't know how the kid got in. Hang on a second, just bear with me. Hello, line one.
Hip.
Elaine.
Hip.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Well, I didn't know it was line one.
down.
Well, it doesn't really matter. It's a metaphorical line one. You had the chance there, Elaine, to be first caller of the night.
Oh, no.
And there was like a 15-second delay.
I know, but I tweeted you earlier and said I was thinking of calling for the first time. I've never phoned a radio show, so...
Well, I'm really sorry, Elaine, but your first call is drenched in shame.
I know, that was my biggest fear.
You're 15 seconds slower than a Caddick. Imagine such a thing! Imagine such a thing! Well, your call is drenched in shame, but we might be able to turn it around. We might be able to wipe some of the shame off. But Alan was the first call of the night, so good evening, Alan.
Good evening, Ian.
How are you, boss?
Not bad, boss. I remember you asked me a question on Friday.
What was the question I asked you on Friday? It was probably just to get rid of you, but...
Who is your mum's most favourite and who is your mum's least favourite?
Oh, yeah. Alan's got three brothers.
Yeah.
Three brothers. There's four of you. And he's got a mum. And I wanted to know who was the mum's favourite and who was the mum's least favourite. Didn't care about second or third. They're insignificant to me. So let's start, Alan. Who is the least favourite?
That would be me.
Oh!
We've never guessed.
Why?
The baby of the bunch.
But so the baby is... Because normally...
Usually the baby's the one that's spoiled rotten.
Yeah, exactly. The baby is normally the one that everybody loves.
Well, apart from the brothers.
The baby is my favourite in my family.
All right.
So who's the favourite then, Alan?
It's a tough one. It's a two-way tie.
Blimey. OK, between whom?
Wobbett and Stephen.
Right, OK. Well, here's the question you need to ask your mum tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
If the house is on fire, and she can only say she only had time, both of your brothers were incapacitated, right? They'd had serious leg injuries, so
who
they could.
Who save first?
Who? No, she can only save one. It's not even who would she save first. Which one would she save?
Oh, that's an interesting thing to ponder over.
This isn't too taxing on your poor mum, is it?
Well, she's still recovering.
Okay,
but she's got lots of time to think about this stuff, hasn't she?
We're not hindering her recovery, are we, Alan, by putting these traumatic stories in her head?
No, but she's only just got the family back together,
What a shame to lose one of them in a house fire, but she's going to have to, Alan. Which one will it be? Can you tell us tomorrow?
Of course, and I was wondering, what have we got for tonight?
Well, what we've got, Alan, is you need to go and get yourself a new phone, because I can't hear a bloody word you're saying. What we've got tonight is we have an inaugural phone call from a brand new caller. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Elaine calling from, I believe, Reading in Berkshire. Is that correct, Elaine?
Wokingham.
Oh.
Oh! Yeah. Little bit posher. It says Reading on the screen, so that's what we have to...
Yes.
That's what we have to go for. How long have you been listening, Elaine?
This is the first time I've ever listened to one of your radio shows. This new show, I started from the beginning. But my only experience of you was on Big Brother's Bit on the Site, or whatever.
Okay, with Rylan. Okay, the thing.
Yeah.
But you've been listening to this radio show since it started, or
day one? Yes.
Wowzers. Okay. Well, that's an unusual routine, as most of the listeners that I get have been listening. They ignore the TV stuff. They don't like the TV stuff.
Yes.
They like the radio stuff.
Yes, it takes a lot to get me away from the TV, so well done.
Well, no, well done you, because here's the thing, right? I've said this a lot. I don't really watch much TV anymore. TV is pretty rotten, isn't it, Elaine? There's nothing really... Oh.
Yes.
Well, no, but you ummed as though there were stuff on TV.
I'm trying to think, what do I actually watch on the TV? Which says it all, really.
Well, there's nothing, is there? And do you know what? I made myself, because I've been watching a bit of Netflix, I made myself watch two DVDs over the weekend. Our internet was down, and I'll tell you why our internet was down. Everyone's going, can't get the internet to work, can't get the internet to work. Do you know what happened, Elaine?
Yes, what? No.
No? Yeah, no. What? Catherine, do you know what happened?
Someone pulled the plug out.
The dog had chewed the cable.
Oh, that little swine.
She chewed the internet. She'd eaten the internet, basically. The dog had eaten the internet. So I had to buy a new internet lead and plug it in. So we didn't have internet over the weekend. It was flipping brilliant. I watched the DVD. I dug through my DVDs and watched the DVD I'd not seen for about 10 years, a documentary about Brian Wilson. And then last night, I was sat there going, whoa, what am I going to do? Oh, and I remembered, Elaine, I bought myself a film... in Asda for £3 called Flight 1942.
And why was it only £3? Is it because it was so popular they could afford to take the hit?
It must be, because it was brilliant, right? It was a time travel film, Elaine. Oh, yeah. Oh, and things have come on apace since this weekend. You know I'm writing a book?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm writing two books now.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm writing one book. I'm writing the book. Two chapters done now. I need to get a third, then we can start touting it around to publishers to sell.
The monkey's book?
No. What? Thank you. You reminded me. I'm writing three books now.
No, you're not. You're actually writing one. You've got two in your head.
No. I've stopped writing one to write the book, yes, which I've written two chapters of. Mm-hmm. But then today I emailed a publisher about the third book, which is going to be all of the greatest, and by greatest I mean all of the worst time travel movies ever, a compendium of all of the worst time travel movies in book form. A small science fiction publisher has expressed an interest in publishing me. He's going to get back to me on Wednesday.
Are there that many films that are time travelling?
Yes.
I've only seen Back to the Future.
Well, that isn't even going to be in it. I said in the email, Back to the Future and Terminator isn't even going to be in it.
No.
Tell you what's going to be in it. Time Crimes. Have you watched it yet?
No.
Okay.
I will. I'll watch it tomorrow.
I lent it to Catherine the other day. It's in Spanish, so she'll like it. So Time Crimes, Predestination, Primer, The Philadelphia Experiment.
No.
Based on a true story. Philadelphia Experiment is based on a true story, right? In 1942, the Americans were trying to make a ship that was radar invisible,
right.
Okay. And this is a true story. And the Philadelphia Experiment is a real thing. They may have slightly stretched the story to make it appropriate for a movie, right? But so the Philadelphia Experiment is a real thing, right, where they were trying to, in Philadelphia, make a machine that would make a ship radar invisible. Now, when they turned the machine on, right, the ship disappeared. Literally disappeared from radar and from the sea. It ended up in like a sort of a portal. But two of the sailors...
Is this still true?
I'll tell you, Elaine, when I think the filmmakers made things up, right? And it's not yet. So the ship's spinning around, and two of the sailors jump over the ship, and they end up, not in 1942, but in 1985, by coincidence, the year the film was made. This is where I think they made it up, is one of the men goes back, and one of the men stays there, and then they meet each other when one of them's old or something.
Yeah, so the one that went back is going to be old.
Something like that. So that's based on a true story. And also, this film last night, Flight 1942. Guess what happens, Elaine?
The aeroplane goes back in time.
To?
World War Two.
Yeah, what year?
1942.
It's called Flight 1942.
42?
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't. It goes back to 1940. That's the confusing thing. It goes back to 1940. It is brilliant, right? And there's going to be a big bit in this book about how in the best time travel films are the ones where people accept that they've travelled through time or they're meeting a time traveller immediately, right? It's like there's always a scene where someone's making love to someone, right? And they go, I've got something to tell you. Oh, yeah, what's that? I'm from 200 years in the future.
But while they're doing it?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Flipping out, very trappy, aren't they?
I'm from 200 years in the future. And they go... Oh, wow, brilliant. And they accept it.
You'll accept anything
and
at that time.
And in this film, Flight 1942, right, they're on a plane, right, and they go... It's such a good film. They go through a storm, and then they go, and all their instruments are dead, right, except for the radar. Again, the radar. And so they duck beneath the clouds to see where they are, and they see, like, the bombing of France by the Luftwaffe, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get loads of dogfights between Messerschmitts and Fokkers, and it's a jumbo jet! And the Messerschmitts are keeping up with the jumbo jet. Messerschmitt can do 348 tops. Jumbo jet 641.
I didn't think there was much bombing of France. I thought France just rolled
well,
over.
Well, maybe it was France. It doesn't matter. They're bombing some Italy. I don't know where it was. They're bombing somewhere, right? And then some of the passengers work out what's happened, right?
Yeah.
And this guy stands up and says, everyone, the captain's not telling you the truth. We've gone back in time to 1940, but... This is our chance to be here.
Stop. How would he know it was 1940 specifically?
Because there were two historians on there who'd worked out from the battle and the coastlines to where they were, right? But they also had a Hitler book, right? They had a Hitler book. So this guy's looking at the Hitler book and he goes, with this Hitler book, we can kill Hitler, right? and we can end the war. This is our chance to be heroes. Think of the lives we'll save, right? And everyone's going, yeah, we're going to kill Hitler. And then there are two...
How are they going to kill Hitler?
They were going to land the plane. They'd know where he was. Because they had the history book.
Right, yeah.
So, and then there were two GIs on the plane. Mm. And they beat this guy up, right? And there's like a fight. There's a little fight going on. They said... And the GIs, considering they were American soldiers, they were quite
thoughtful.
Bright. Mm. They said, we cannot land this plane. Everyone had accepted instantly they'd gone back in time, right? A bloke on an airplane said we'd gone back in time. Everybody instantly... Oh, wait, 4-4-4-9-9-1000, by the way.
Were they all Americans?
Well! Oh! She's good, Elaine! Are you still with us, Elaine?
Yeah, I've got stage fright.
I bet you're wishing you never called in now, aren't you?
Yeah. No?
No,
I'm not.
No, it's good. Right.
Give it time, you will.
So the soldier said, we can't land this plane. Because if we muff up killing Hitler and he gets this history book, well, then he'll win the war.
He'll have to accept that it's definitely from the future and it's truthful.
Exactly. Well,
which he will then, straight
then,
away.
But then, the pilots are on the plane going, we're in big trouble. Can anyone hear us? And then you hear this voice going, yes, hello, this is Britain. And it was a kid in the army.
Right? What?
The dad kids in the army. It was only a kid, right? Kid in the army. And the pilot said, you're going to find this really hard to believe, but we think we've travelled from the future to... What year is it? 1940. Go, oh, no, we've travelled from the future. And the kid goes, OK, how can we help?
Yep, fair enough.
Just accepts it. And then what they do is they drop off... They disconnect the radar from the plane. They drop it off. So they give radar... They think that they... The pilots think that they invented radar by giving it to the British forces, right? But then who actually invented radar? So it's a paradox. And then there was another storm and they flew back through it, back to the future.
And that was the end of that?
No. Because there was a mysterious guy at the back, a mysterious old guy at the back of the plane.
Right.
He'd been taking notes all through the flight, right? Do you know who that guy was, Elaine?
At the back of the plane, taking notes.
Yeah, it was an old English guy.
Oh, I know.
No.
He was the kid on the end of the thing.
He was the kid at the end of the thing. I mean, admittedly, he was only about 60, and he would have had to have been like 90. But that was it. It was a good film, Elaine.
It sounds like
Pony. Well, where did 1942 come into it then?
Well, it was Flight 42.
Oh.
But it's one of those films. Here we go. This is tonight's show. Thank you, Elaine. I knew we'd get there. Films that have different names in different countries. For example, we've all seen the classic James Belushi movie, Filofax. It was on a lot in the 80s and the 90s. Filofax. Guy loses his Filofax, he's screwed. Well, in America, it's called Taking Care of Business. Hence the music, Taking Care of Business, at the end. So, that's what we're going to do, Elaine.
Oh, I know. I saw one.
Go on.
There was one starring Elizabeth Shue. Remember her from the 80s?
Yeah,
she was quite a big kind of romantic lead actress.
Yeah.
I saw a film on a party when we all went to the cinema, because we were getting a bit older, called A Night on the Town. It was also called... Adventures in Babysitting.
There we go, you see. I've heard of Adventures in Babysitting, yeah.
Apparently in America it's called A Night on the Town.
Outrageous. Elaine, that was your first call. How did it feel?
Well, it was terrifying. Much more scary than I thought.
Oh, Christ.
not you, it's me.
Yeah, well, oh, God. And, it sounds like we're splitting
up. You've heard that before, haven't you?
Sounds like
and
you're
I
breaking
need
up with me.
To recover from my shame.
There's no... Your shame has been wiped from your shoulders.
Perfect.
But you came up with the topic of films that got different names in different countries. That's golden, thanks. Elaine.
And I was going to phone in about my squirrel.
Go on, tell us. Hang on a minute. Tell us after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We have yet to find out the results of the survey that Paul Ross was carrying out today. What is your favourite decade out of the 1960s and the 1970s? I don't know if anybody has the results from that or not, but I'd be very, very keen to hear. But before we go any further, and boy, it's a busy show tonight. And do you know what? I think tonight we're going to do a spooky show.
Yeah.
Let's do a spooky show, because we got some audio from Howard Hughes' Bullshine show last night. And for those who listened to it, it really was utter bullshine, but wonderful. Howard's coming on Monday, next Monday. I emailed him, and I've texted David Icke's son. Yeah, those are the kind of circles I'm moving. But let's have a spooky show tonight. Let's put it all out there. Let's pretend, right? I'm going to pretend that ghosts and goblins and ghoulies are real, right? Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is real. Phone in with your stories.
I had an unexplained thing happen to me, and I don't really believe in ghosts, but I can't explain it.
Yeah.
Okay. Me and my friend...
But we haven't forgotten that Elaine's going to tell us about a squirrel as well in a minute.
Oh, I can't wait for
and that. And there's a dead rat in my garden, but that's by the by.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Walking home along a dark path with my French pen friend.
Dark passage? Was it in France?
No, it was in England.
An English dark passage.
Yeah, on the way to my mum's house. Right?
Your mum's dark passage?
Yes.
You're walking up, you're entering your mum's, I'm entering your mum's dark passage.
Strange man behind me.
Yeah, there would be, as a cue.
Flipping heck.
Oh, I've made myself laugh at
I'm
the
glad
filth
you're laughing,
of that.
You'll be laughing in a minute.
That's a filth of that, go on.
So we're walking along, this fella's behind us, and he's getting closer and closer, and he's just a bit too close.
Yeah.
So we're about 13. Me and Celine broke into a bit of a jog. He started running as well.
Terrifying. Yeah.
At this point, we're running along this path, and there's nothing. There's no way back from this path. You'll be able to see for a good, I would say, 200 metres, right? So we finally get to my mum. We leg it, and he's right behind us. We can hear him right behind us running. Was it you? Then we turn around when we get to the front door. No one there. And he'd been right, sort of proper bearing down on us.
Those paedophiles are very, very quick, and they hide in plain sight. Possibly.
Well, I can only say he must have been a pedo ghost.
Imagine if your house was haunted by Jimmy Savile. Oh, God. Oh, dear. Got a ghost. That's brilliant. Who is he? Well, no, it's... go on, let's get... we'll come around. No. Let's get the papers. I'd really rather not... Who is it? We're being haunted by Jimmy Savile. Oh, blimey. That would be awful, wouldn't it? Of all the ghosts in all the world. Someone has to be. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Ever been haunted by Jimmy Savile? Tell us your haunted stories or your squirrel stories, Elaine.
Well, now I've got a Jimmy Savile story, too.
Oh, she's
full of them.
There we go. Go on. Let's have the squirrel.
I grew up in Crowthorne, where Broadmoor Hospital is.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
And, look, I was born in 1960.
Oh, dear.
So, at senior school in the 70s, there was a girl in my class, and her father was one of Jimmy Savile's chauffeurs.
Yeah.
And looking back, I just always remember how withdrawn this girl was.
Yeah,
spoke to anyone, now I'm wondering...
And on a serious note...
Yes.
Now that we know more about abuse and people who have been abused, wasn't there always a quiet, pale-looking child at the back of the class?
I was one of them as well.
And some of them were pale and quiet just because they were pale and quiet, but quite often they're pale and quiet. And we get teased of being pale and quiet. And I look back now and think, God, what was going on with that in that person's life?
Yeah, because that was me, because I grew up in an abusive home. There was no sexual abuse, thank God. But I grew up with abusive parents. And I was very, very withdrawn.
When you say abusive, what do you mean? Like verbally or physically?
Emotionally, spiritually, I like to say, because it's almost like they tried to destroy my soul, you know. Mm. And school was a terrifying place for me because I couldn't socialise, I could barely speak.
Did you get teased for being that quiet kid? Because I must admit, in primary school, I teased kids for being the quiet kids, as kids do.
Funnily enough, I didn't, and I used to think... why aren't I getting bullied? Because I should be. And I wasn't really. I think I was so quiet and that...
you're invisible.
They literally couldn't see me.
Yeah.
Oh, Elaine.
You know. But I did notice this girl was quiet also. Maybe that's why I noticed her, because...
Yeah.
And looking back, though... yes, she didn't really connect with anyone like I didn't.
And with that closer connection to Savile, you kind of have to wonder if there was something, highly inappropriate going on
with her, because he had contact. He could have had contact through... I mean, I also met him myself, because the road I lived in was about a mile from Broadmoor, and it's kind of a long road. And I was down the bottom playing with my friends one day, and we saw someone... coming down on a bike, and we noticed the white hair.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, that's Jimmy Savile, that's Jimmy Savile, because you thought he was great then, if you were a kid.
Yeah, of course, it was Jimmy Savile. He was a hero.
He was like Father Christmas, wasn't he? Flipping out.
And he cycled right down up to us. I think there was me and two of my other friends, and he just sort of, he just seemed okay. He chatted and gave us a little bit of his time, and then he went in this house, and it turned out it was his great aunt's house.
Mm.
And we were standing right outside it. So, of course, looking back, it wasn't an opportunity for him to, you know,
have his evil way. Blimey. It doesn't make you think, doesn't it? About, I mean, I've said this before. I've got a lot of shame around my behaviour in school because I did in grammar school as well. I was a bit of a bully. I was in the middle of the bullying chain, so I would get bullied by the kids older than me. And so to cover up my shame and self-hatred, I would bully other kids. And I did some really, really, really horrid, nasty things.
Which is what happens, doesn't it? But I had zero confidence. I think you need a bit of confidence to do that.
Well, Well, it's a weird mix of low self-esteem and arrogance combined. It comes out for me. It came out like that, and it's horrible. Elaine, are we going to get to the squirrel story?
The squirrel, well,
this is a great first call, by the way.
The squirrel. My cat brought a live squirrel in the house Friday morning.
Yeah.
It's been sleeping in my son's bedroom. This will be the fourth night tonight while my son sleeps downstairs. I've spoken to various, what do you call them? They get rid of the rats and the vermin.
Pest controllers.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, we go.
For advice. And apparently they will go out an upstairs window. So I've got a sash window, so I opened the window the very first evening. This guy said, just sit outside with a drink and you'll see it come out. Of course, it didn't leave.
No.
So for 24 hours it hadn't eaten or drunk the next morning, and it was going, like that.
Sounds rings a bell. Keep listening, because we've got audio of a very similar sound coming up later on. We really have.
But this is a squirrel. So I opened the window 6:30 in the morning. I thought, it's starving now. It hasn't had a drink. Yeah. It's bound to leave.
Yeah.
No, must like...
Did you never think of stoving its head in with a brick?
Oh, Ian.
No.
Or like that monkey, shooting it?
I did consider getting them in to shoot it with a pellet gun.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I thought, okay... I've got to give it a drink of water now because I felt so bad.
Did you give it a cup?
No, I gave it. I'll tell you what, my son tried to pick it up the first morning and it ran up his arm.
Ooh.
And I've since been told they go for the face.
Yeah, yeah, of course, the face or the balls.
Well, I'm okay there. So I went in the room and tried to move it at one point, but I didn't have the window open, and it ran up the wall, ran up the curtain, and then went under a unit. And.
Is this squirrel still in your house?
It's still in my son's bedroom.
How long ago was this?
Friday morning.
Oh, mate, flipping
it. It's going to die in there.
Well,
or breed, or it could be pregnant. It could be.
It wouldn't die.
It could be pregnant. It could be having babies.
I know. I've got the window open all night tonight. Well, it's actually come out now and eaten. I put some peanut butter down.
Mate, it ain't going nowhere.
It's a lodger.
It's found somewhere warm.
It's sitting in your son's bed watching the telly.
No, we've brought the mattress and the bedding down, so he hasn't got the luxury of that.
You've moved out of your house and home because there are squirrel squatters have taken up residence there. Elaine, listen, as the first call goes, that was brilliant. Thank you, Elaine. Well, I hope we get to speak again. 0844 499 1000. You can't... I don't think you're allowed to move squirrels, are you?
Yeah, you are. It's bats you can't move.
Well, they're similar. Some squirrels can fly. Well, they don't fly. They have wings, though, don't they? Some squirrels have wings.
They've got bingo wings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I missed the table there. We're going on a bat hunt at the weekend.
Oh.
Saturday night. When it gets... We've got woods near us, right? And I know there's some trees where some owls live in, so we're going to go there. It gets dark about 9. So at 8:45, we're going to go over there with torches and sandwiches and, like, chocolates and stuff. And we're going to go for a walk through the woods and try and find some bats and owls.
Sounds like a good idea.
You're not invited.
Well... It's the public woods.
Well, you don't know what entrance I'm going to use.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
OK, so tonight's show, it's Monday, it's a bank holiday. I was expecting no phone calls. We got loads. Here come the water. We got loads of phone calls, so I'm not going to give out the phone number for a bit. If you know it, call. You will be answered by Ian, and he will call you and put you through. But I'm not going to give it out for a bit, because we've got loads of calls coming up. So, we listening to Howard Hughes last night on Sunday Night Show. I like a bit of Howard.
I missed it. I went to bed at 6:30, out cold.
Wow.
Gone.
Wowzers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I stayed up and watched Flight 1942, and then I listened to a bit of Howard whilst I was... is it illegal
and
to
what was
stream...
the further fetch?
Is it illegal to stream a movie on Periscope? Because that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was doing a director's commentary for Flight 1942. Follow me on Periscope, and you can... When I get really bored... You can watch me. You can watch the TV that I'm watching and listen to me doing it. It was good.
Yeah.
Good director's commentary. Well, all I really heard on Howard's show last night was talk of Sasquatch.
Say that again.
Sasquatch.
A Bigfoot, you mean?
It was a Sasquatch special. Sasquatch. Right. Now, Sasquatch, you may know him as Bigfoot. You may know him as the Yeti.
No, or, Yeti's different.
No. Yeti
Yeti's
and
cold Sasquatch.
An abominable snowman. They're the same. They're from the same family.
What, of a great of ape men?
And Howard, Howard's coming on a week Monday, right? And he knows my take on this stuff. I sent him an email.
I think
saying,
everyone knows your take on it.
I sent him an email saying, I really love your show, but I think it's all rubbish. But I love it. And it is a great listen. Perfect Sunday night listen. Better than that rubbish they're doing all the other stations about Brexit and EU and stuff. It's such a good listen, right? But it's all rubbish. Apart from the aliens. I believe the alien stuff. Mm. So this guy was talking about Sasquatch, right? And he was brilliant. He was absolutely...
Well, you say brilliant.
He was brilliant. He had a clip. He had some audio of Sasquatch talking. And it sounded much like Elaine's squirrel. Have a listen to this. Oh, hang on, where is it? Where it be?
Right.
Oh. Why don't you play? What's going on here?
Ooh, now this mysterious.
This is spooky, because there's no reason why this isn't playing. Right, okay. This is actually proper spooky shiz now. Now, Craig, we've entered something very, very spooky, and it's not just Kath's mum's dark passage. This is very... Hang on.
Can you leave my mum's passage out of it here on?
Right, hang on a minute. Let's see if we can get this to work. Right, here we go. Here we go.
We've
got some recordings that you've made, some audio clips. So let's hear the first of those now.
Okay. So Sasquatch talking.
That's Scooby-Doo.
This is actually
terrifying. All right, Ron, that gives us an idea of the kind of noises that they make. What was going on there?
We think there were two of them and arguing about the food with each other.
Of course they were. Of course they were, mate. Of course they were.
You can hear them if you listen very carefully say, no, that's my donut.
This guy has spent over 50 years
making
of his life.
Up.
No. Well, yeah. He has spent over 50 years of his life pursuing this stuff, Craig. Pursuing Sasquatch.
Yeah, like the $6 Million Man did.
The $6 Million Man didn't pursue Sasquatch.
He did.
He did not, but he never pursued Sasquatch.
He did. He had a battle with Sasquatch. I think it was a 2-episode special.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that true, or are you winding me up?
No, I wouldn't make that up.
And, Craig, when Sasquatch was being fought by the $6 Million Man...
Oh, hang on.
Did he make those noises?
Probably. I was very small.
Here we go. Hang on a minute. There's a clip here. It says Steve Austin versus Bigfoot. Hang on a minute. He's doing his X-ray eyes, zooming in. He's seen something through the woods. This is Lee Majors.
It's not
lust in a Sasquatch's eyes. Flipping heck! He's about to have a fight with Sasquatch! Let's jump forward. He's,
I have to think the feeling's mutual.
Oh, he's wisecracking to the...
Flip! And what's the noise? That's not Sasquatch. That's just a man with long hair. Okay. Well, the thing is, right, and that actually makes sense. If Steve Austin is fighting Sasquatch, that actually makes sense, right? Because did you listen to Howard's show last night, Craig?
No, I was watching you.
Oh, did you watch the film? It was a good film, wasn't it? Flight 1942.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense that Steve Austin is fighting Sasquatch. Because listen to what this expert thinks Sasquatch is up to, right? Listen to this.
Well, they stay hidden in the woods for some reason, and they're bigger, stronger, stealthy and sapient. So,
what are they,
you
up
know,
to?
They could.
What
are they up to? They're either here to. And I think there's good ones and bad ones. Let me get through that out of the way right quick. But they're either here to help us or to war with us.
They're either here to help us or to war with us.
To help us with what?
to with our sentence construction. They are here to war with us, Craig. Sasquatch is here to war with us. So the $6 million man, in many ways, it was probably, that program was, that episode was probably written by the Illuminati trying to soften us up for when the actual war between human versus Yeti takes place.
Scared me for sure.
Well, it's meant to, mate. It's meant to. Just think, in 20 years' time, right, we'll all be slaves to our Yeti masters. We'll all be enslaved to the Yeti masters. That's going to happen, Craig. And it's your fault, basically, is what I'm trying to say. It's your fault.
A twist on Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Twist on it. Twist on it. This is actually what's going to happen, mate. We're all screwed. What are you called in for, Craig?
So, I was going to talk about sci-fi movies.
Yes, why the hell not?
Squirrels are vermin, and you can't release them if you can.
Thank you.
One.
That's what I said. I said that.
Well, you can't.
What did you call me?
You can't.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't.
But you have to kill them.
Well, you just can't.
Technically,
if you find an injured one, you can't release it back.
Technically, you're not allowed to kill them either, are you, Craig? You need a licence.
So they've got to live in your house forever?
Yeah.
Well, I think you phone pest control and
Now this sounds like a ruse cooked up by the squirrel catcher.
What are you talking about? You think the
grey squirrels, they don't mind the red ones. But grey squirrels are invasive, aren't they?
The grey squirrels came over here and gave the red squirrels AIDS, didn't they?
They punched their lights out.
Didn't they give them AIDS or something? they did. I'm sure the grey squirrels came from America and they gave the red squirrels AIDS and killed them all out.
I didn't know there was
any
AIDS involved.
Something like that.
They just got a bit punchy.
They wiped them out. We used to see a lot of squirrel nutkins when I was a little boy, but Burnham Beaches, we used to drive over there on the way to school and we'd see the squirrels.
I've never seen a red squirrel.
Yeah, well, and that's because they all got AIDS.
They're
I'm sure that's true.
But that's an island, so.
Yeah, they're on an island. And if you were to release two grey squirrels on Anglesey within 18 months, there'd be no red squirrels, there'd only be grey ones.
I've been to Anglesey, I didn't see any reds.
Well, they're very rare.
Not obvious.
Like shinies.
So like what? Shinies?
Shinies and football
stickers. Yeah. Know what they are.
Shinies?
Excellent.
Yeah. Got it, need it, got it.
Oh, okay.
Shiny!
What about Steelies?
Oh, no, what's that?
Marbles, isn't it?
Oh, right.
The metal marbles. The ball bearings, basically.
Yeah. I used to have loads of those because my aunt used to work at Bearing Mark.
Here's the thing, right? Mm? Here's the thing. We don't talk about school on this show very often, but we had seasons. Remember seasons at school? So you'd have conquer season.
Conquer
that was obviously
season.
That's decided by God, right? Conquer season. But then we had marble season. And marble season, I think, was in the run-up to summer. And just on one day, without any words, all of the kids were coming with marbles.
Yeah.
And we had, like, a brick wall in the middle of... it was like a... we lost a caller there. I don't know who that was. That was Nigel. So, no great loss. No, I'm joking. We had, like, this sort of brick wall in the playground where we play Space Invaders with a tennis ball. But then when it was marble season, everyone would set up little stalls, right? And you'd set up, like, maybe five marbles balanced on top of each other, or 10, or two if you're feeling tight. And you would people would come and they'd walk down and look at the different marbles, go, oh, that's can I play this? Yeah, I'm only taking Chinas. You know the Chinas?
China's one with the eyes in.
No, no. Chinas are the white ones.
Right.
So, yes, Chinas are valuable. Steelies were the best, right?
China's, what were the eye ones
they
common?
Were just usual. They were just like your bog-standard marbles, right? So we're only taking Chinas, right? So, oh, that's too pricey for me. See, and then you'd have to buzz the marbles down. If you knocked the stand down, you got to keep all the marbles.
Boom.
And if you didn't knock it down, they kept the marbles that went past.
Was it mostly boys?
No, girls were into it as well.
I had marbles a bit, but not so much.
Did you have marble season, Craig?
Yeah, we had Alley Lane where we played ours.
Alley Lane. Same games?
Well, we would play where you threw it and you had to hit each other. And if you had a double, you had to hit it twice. And you had malts.
Yeah.
And
what were malts? Were they the white ones?
They were white ones with colour in them.
They're Chinas, mate.
The Chinas.
Yeah.
We had a different name for Chinas. It wasn't politically correct.
Oh,
okay.
Close enough, though.
Yeah, okay. We get the point.
But, yeah, the Chinas were more, like, they were more, I don't know, sort of stony than China-y.
Yeah, I don't...
The malts, I think the ones you call Chinas, we called malts. Because I guess they were like...
The Chinas were white, and
yeah.
They had, like, a pattern on it.
Yeah, that would have been China. That would have been our malts. Right. And then there was a different one again then. And there was, like, solid black ones as well.
And you'd always get a kid. You'd always get a kid that would come in whose dad was, like, an engineer or a mechanic, and he'd bring in a massive Steely that was, like, the size of a golf ball.
That would be me, because my auntie.
I'm flipping it. Well, Craig... Craig, listen, thank you for that. We've lost Nigel. He's had to go and have his dinner.
Oh, what a shame.
084. Oh, no, I'm not giving out the number.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Matt, who I once defeated when I wrestled a listener at another radio station, mm-hmm. and ever since then, and this was years ago, and ever since then he's been sucking up to me because I destroyed him, basically, and he's been sucking up to me. He makes a good point. Cat's eyes, they're the clear marbles. They'd be the marble equivalent of pawns in chess, so they're just worth one.
Throwaway.
China's are worth about three, and a steely is worth about five.
Blimey.
Let's go to Ray. Hello, Ray.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. Hip.
You okay tonight, the two of you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Fantastic.
I'm all right. I've decided, Ray. 43 next week, mate. 43 next week. And
oh, right.
It
I'll
is.
Take you to it.
Well, yeah, it, what's it like?
It's only been 42, really.
I am fat and I'm out of breath. Right, and I'm sitting in these jeans that I've worn many, many times before, and I can't do the top button up. And today I thought, right, damn it, Janet, this stops here. Same with like drinking and boozing and smoking and all those kind of things. They stopped when I was 30, 31.
Are you at that stage where you questioning whether to wear your pants over or under the belly?
Wear the what?
Jeans.
Jeans. Know, oh, the jeans are under the jeans are under
wear
the belly.
Their belts over the belly.
Oh, the jeans are under the belly. So today. I'm starting to eat a little bit better. So for the next couple of weeks, bread and chocolate is gone, right?
Yeah.
I love potatoes, but I'm going to have to get rid of potatoes for a couple
of
weeks.
No, just eat them early. Don't eat them late.
Potatoes are packed with carbs. You're going to put on a lot of weight with potatoes. So is rice isn't going to put on weight,
that's
is
carbs
it?
As well.
Oh, jeez. What can I eat? Anyway, I haven't had any bread. I'm going to stop eating the muesli I'm eating because I think it's packed full of sugar. Mm. Very sweet. So no bread, no chocolate. Can definitely get rid of those. And I went for a run today, Ray.
Mm.
I tell you what, running, and half hour work. And my poor little dog, she's only a Westie. She's only got tiny legs. And I took her over the woods. We went for, I say run. If anyone had seen it, they would be hard pushed to use the R word to describe it. Run in the very, very loosest sense of the word.
Was it like more like a power walk?
It was... Well, no, I was doing the movements.
Right.
But very, very slowly. And it really... My calves hurt. My calves hurt a lot. But I did it. And we went for about 25 minutes on and off, running and walking. Because I don't have a heart here. I don't want my first one to be a Russell. So I did it and I went home and had a nice hot bath. And I might do it again tomorrow. But I didn't like it. People say, oh, you get an endorphin rush. But I always say this. Oh, you get an endorphin rush. It's great for depression. You'll get an endorphin rush. I've never had an endorphin rush from exercise, ever. When I used to go to the gym, when I had a personal trainer, when I used to be a sprinter. Never, ever have I had an endorphin rush from exercise. I've felt nothing but pain. No pain, no gain. Well, gain this.
I remember Robin Williams once saying that doing a marathon was like taking drugs, you know, because of the endorphin rush.
Well, I would rather take the drugs, but that's not going to get me fit. I've conducted experiments. That's not going to get me fit. So, and I don't want to get fit. I just want to not be out of breath when I walk up the stairs. I want to be able to run around with my boys for, you know, a few minutes at a time without going, guys, I'm going to have to sit down. You carry on without me. And I want to be able to fit into these jeans again. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. That's all I want.
Yeah,
and it's partly the medicine I'm on these new pills that makes you hungry, means you don't realise when you're full up. And I have read some people that suggest it might affect the way sugar is metabolised, thank you, in your body. And it might convert sugar, it might do something to sugar. So in which case, I'm screwed.
You are kind of a bottomless pit at the moment.
Sorry?
You are, though, aren't you?
I've got a bottom. Do you want to see my pit?
Not again. No,
you're right. I don't know when I'm full up.
Exactly.
I don't know when I'm full up.
That's not like you. You've not been like that for
No.
The whole time I've known you.
So I went for a run. But then, right, loads of people on Twitter going, oh, running's bad for you. What? And when I mentioned I was doing sit-ups the other day, oh, no, sit-ups. And I looked into sit-ups, right, because I thought that would be a good way to slim off. It's not. Sit-ups are really bad for you.
Are they?
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad I don't do them then.
They don't tone you. They kind of, they don't give you a six-pack. Certainly don't want a six-pack. But what they do is they kind of make like a round bulge.
Oh.
That's what they do to you. So I was doing sit-ups for 2 weeks. It's pointless. So what the hell am I supposed to do? What the hell is wrong with this country?
Just stop stuffing your
bloody
face.
Poles coming over here and stealing all of our work and all of that stuff, and now I'm getting fat. Anyway, Ray, what did you call in for?
Films with different names in different territories.
Yes, sir!
Right, do you remember back in 1984 there was a film Breakdance?
I remember that was Electric Boogaloo, wasn't it?
Breakdance 2 was also known as Electric Boogaloo.
Breakdance 2, Electric Boogaloo.
But the original Breakdance, it was only known as that over here, because in America it was called Breakin'.
Oh, OK. Breakin' with an apostrophe, no G, I'm assuming.
That's right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And the other film, one that I found very touching, was Inside on Dancing, which elsewhere is known as Rory O'Shea Was Here.
Inside on Dancing? That's
it's about someone who's very badly disabled, is that right?
Yeah, the guy with... where he can only move his fingers. Yeah.
OK. I watched a brilliant documentary about, I think it's Canongate, which is the film company that made Electric Boogaloo. And they made, if you can think of a crap film from the 80s, they made it. All the Chuck Norris films, a couple of Richard Chamberlain films. I think, Condor Man was Disney, I think. And it's such a good documentary. Basically, these two Israeli guys who'd made a fortune in Israel with, like, these cheap sort of Porky's-type comedies. And then they came over here, and with very little budget and just massive cojones, they kind of bluffed their way into the film market. And it's just when videos were taken off as well. And they made so many films. And then they fell at they might have been brothers, or they were certainly business partners. And they made, for like 10 years, they made millions of dollars making all these films and made a fortune, right? Like Jean-Claude Van Damme films and stuff like that. Real low-budget stuff.
Really excellent films.
The popular stuff with me, basically. And then they kind of went there. They fell out, right? And they went their separate ways, right? And, that was it.
Blimey!
Sorry? Hello?
Sorry.
What, hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
We heard everything,
Ray.
sorry, mate.
You didn't even try and sneak it out. It was a double gusto.
Good Lord.
I'm assuming it was you, not the missus.
You really brought the tone of the show down now.
Gosh. You are a very gassy man.
Children, come on.
Anyway, right. So these two guys decided...
I keep thinking about it.
Oh, that's going to haunt me now. That's going to haunt me for the rest of my days. Where were you when Ray belched live on air? So these two guys, right, they both had acquired... They wanted to make a film about a new dance craze that was spreading the world, right, called the Lambada, right?
The Forbidden Dance.
But one of them had bought the rights to the title Lambada, and one of them had bought the song The Lambada.
Like Kayomi?
Why not? Japanese fella, was it? Okay. So they rushed... Oh, I spat at you then. They rushed to release their film. So one was called Lambada, but didn't have the... And the other one had... But didn't have the word Lambada.
Right.
They were both pony. But I remember those films coming. Anyway, it's a really good documentary. Ray, thank you for that.
Thanks for everything.
Yeah, thanks for everything, Ray. Enjoy your meal. We did. Oliver's on the line. Good evening, Oliver.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you, Oliver. A little bit shocked, but good. What have you got for us?
You remember the thing you did at Harper's Uni? I was one of the guys who followed you into the coffee shop.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, now remind me which guy you were, Oliver.
I was the...
Glasses.
One. Yeah, it was glasses.
Glasses.
Not the one who worked at the student union.
No, the one with glasses. Is there any chance you could take us off speakerphone?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, it just sounds a bit pony, that's all. from our end. Oh, Oliver, well, Oliver was one of the people that has come and heard us give talks and stuff. And well, thank you, Oliver. You looked after us wonderfully that day.
Oh, well, I didn't really do anything.
But... That's true, actually. You were actually,
you did nothing.
You were terrible. Now I think on it, Oliver, you were pretty. I thought it wasn't that. That was he was the one I was slagging off when we left, wasn't
Bare
it?
Bare minimum, Oliver.
Bare minimum, Oliver. what have you got for us, Oliver?
I don't know much. Well, you mentioned that you're trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
No, because I'm a bit tubby as well, and I'm trying to do the same thing.
It's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's the weight. There's. It's basically you got to eat less than
And walk more. And that's it.
Well, yeah, eat less than your, than the amount of calories, than the energy that you...
See, already you're bringing science into it. I don't want science. My brain can't handle science.
It's just like, it's just addition and subtraction. It's like, so, you know, an average person expends about 2,000 kilocalories every day.
Oh, you're
what
losing
the,
him.
What the hell? What can I eat in 15 seconds? What can I eat and what can't I eat?
Just not too much. You can eat anything as long as it's not too much.
I love food. I love food.
Yes, so do I.
And this is the problem.
Here's a tip.
Yeah.
Smaller plates.
No.
Seriously, because you will, if you get big plates, and everyone's got big plates these days, you'll fill it.
I nearly said something that... what I was going to say was... Thank Oliver, we've got to move on. Thank you for that. Do call again. Was I was going to imply I was going to punch you, but what I was going to say was, I'll fill you in a minute. And that sounds outrageously rude.
Talk Radio.
This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. Amelia and Az, stay there. If you want to give us a call now, would be it. Bless you. Now would be an excellent time to give us a call. Let's give out the phone number for the first time this half an hour, shall we? 0844 499 1000. 0844 499 1000. We will call you back. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine. So fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I've never spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey, I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Rocky Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. Hey, hey, I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that makes Eastwood look so fine.
So, tomorrow night at 10, I must remember this, Richard Herring's coming on the show. He's coming on to talk about the fact that I'm... It all gets a little bit meta and a little bit up its own backside, I've noticed. Because I did the Adam Buxton podcast. I listened to some of the Adam Buxton podcast. I was popping too much. Popping too much. And I was talking too much. But you can get the Adam Buxton podcast. But Richard Herring's coming on tomorrow because I'm going on his Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Recording it on June the 6th. The early show, and tickets are nearly sold out. Not because of me. There's another show on afterwards, which with Tony Law, who's like good. So that's what the tickets will have sold out for. I'm dreading it. So if you do come down, and you know if you fancy it, I'll try and stick around. I think there's an interval, and I will try and stick around. And you know if you want to have pictures done and stuff like that, I'll do that. I kind of have to nip off because that means I'll get here about nine, half nine. Oh, you coming, Boyley? You got work to do. You can't make it. That's such a shame. Oh, that's a real shame. Never mind. You got work to do, mate. You got to stay here and do that. So anyway, tonight's show, what is it? We are talking, well, we're kind of a bit spooky tonight, a little bit spooky. If you were listening to Howard Hughes last night, I'm Howard Hughes. I know we need to work on that. He's brilliant. He's on the show next week. But his guest talk bullshine, and we heard about Sasquatch wants to start a war with us. The Yeti is going to start a war with us human beings. That's going to happen. So your spooky stories. What else? I'm just talking about whatever happens, really. I've got some bits and pieces, but 0844-499-1000. Amelia, stay there. Az is on the line. Evening, Az.
Yo, evening. Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
As you were, Ian.
Thank you very much indeed, sir.
Is Kat still there?
She can hear you. She's through the glass, though, editing the podcast.
Oh, I was just going to say, buenas tardes, Kat, ¿cómo estás? But she can't reply to me, so bien.
She's nodding, yes.
No problem.
Not a problem.
I had a spooky story for you.
Okay, let me get them. In that case, we need to get some...
I need a spooky music.
We can get some spooky music. Hang on a minute, I've got to find it, because I've got loads of windows open here. Hang on.
I took my road in the morning.
Nope, that's not it.
I'm scared.
Hang on. No, hang on. What's this? No, that's not it.
Yeah.
Ah!
Bring it.
Nope.
It's just a number. It's just a number.
Love 18. She's 30. Does that make me dirty?
Baby.
It's just somewhere.
Answer.
I took my road in the morning.
To kiss and
no, that's the wrong answer.
I took my road
in the morning.
Got it. I had to reset everything. Yes, go on. As let's hear your spooky number.
So, I was in an airport with a bunch of friends late at night. I can't remember which airport it was. It was either Oslo or Copenhagen, somewhere cold.
Yeah.
But we were sitting down at a Burger King, and we all had Whoppers, or should I say Whoppers.
Whoppers.
And we were in a little booth eating our food, as you do. In the booth behind me, there was a girl in her mid-30s, I was guessing. She had a Whopper as well. Opposite her on the same table were two more Whoppers, but no one with the Whoppers.
Yeah.
So my initial assumption was, well, the two people to whom those Whoppers belonged to had probably gone to the bathroom to relieve themselves after a long flight.
Yeah, of course.
But she was having a conversation with those two people who were not present. She was just chatting away.
What the hell?
But she wasn't just talking to herself, and she didn't have any, like, headphones or anything in her ear. She was looking at one burger and then the next burger, and she was just having a conversation.
What were they talking about?
I don't know, because it was in, like, foreign. So, now I don't know whether she was crazy whether there were two people there who we just couldn't see.
Yeah.
But she was having a full-on conversation.
I tell you what I think... Yeah. Now I want a Whopper.
I want a Whopper, too.
Man, I love a Whopper.
But what I want to know is, what should I have done? Because I didn't do anything. And to this day, I don't know what the situation was. Should I have gone over to her and say, hi there, would you and your friends like to join us? Or
The problem with Burger King is their mascot is creepy. Because their mascot... Right, Ronald McDonald is an insane genius, right? He's a clown, he's insane, he's a genius, right?
But also kind of creepy.
Well, yeah, creepy, yeah, kind of, but you can see his face, right? Whereas the Burger King, he's like a plastic-faced king, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a mask.
It's like a mask. Now that is it like the Phantom of the Opera, or is it like a celebrity under there? Hey, here's the thing. I meant to look this up. I'll look this up on YouTube to see if it actually exists. Right, this is how much I was procrastinating. There was a really famous singer in the 70s, right? He was an actor, and then he became a singer. He had a couple of really big hits, and one of his songs popped up on Shuffle. Well, not even a filler, an album filler. It was a really good song. I thought, who's this? Oh, blimey, it's him. And it reminded me, right, of when he first started singing. He was quite a well-known actor. When he first started singing, his first few television performances, he wore a balaclava, right? Because he wanted the music to sell itself, not his name. Catherine's shaking coffee beans. No. I am sure. Let me have a look. I'm going to type in the covered man. The covered man. Here we go. It was the covered man.
What kind of music was it?
It was good music. It was bloody good music.
Oh, look it up.
Well, dude, I can't actually find any footage of it, and so I may have dreamt it.
I'm not going to bother then.
No, hang on. I'm going to type in balaclava. Balaclava. No, there is actually no video footage of it existing, which doesn't prove that it's not real. Does it, Az?
That in itself is spooky.
Isn't it just? Thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000. Here comes a cup of tea. Thank you very much, Ed. I'm getting... right, I need to type in Amelia.
Hello, Ian.
Hey, Amelia, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm going to dial someone in America in a second. It's 001, isn't it? 001. Do you remember last week when we... Did you listen when we love-bombed the Periscopers?
I'm not too sure. I don't think I did.
You would know it if you did. Basically, there were some people on Periscope, and we found some that didn't have many viewers, and we went, and loads of people piled onto their Periscope and watched them and joined in. And we found this brilliant... We ended up with this brilliant girl called Gina, who's in Brighton. She only had one viewer, and at one point, I think she had nearly 400 viewers, and most of us were sending her really nice messages, OK? Well, there were a couple of others that we tried, including a gentleman... how old are you, Amelia?
I'm 12.
12, OK, great. Including a gentleman who was very potty-mouthed, used some very rude language, right? But there was also a young lady who was doing a very long drive. I think that was the title of her Periscope feed. And she was singing. Well, she's just sent me her telephone number, so I'm going to... I'm just going to give her a quick call and just... Well, this is her. I can't remember who it was. Hang on. Let's just see if this rings through. Hang on a second, Amelia. But okay. You're patient. It's half term, isn't it? So you can stay up late.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Then you wait with me, and we'll get there. Let's see if this rings.
Hello.
Wow. Is that Anne?
This is Alexia.
Now, hi Alexia. This is Ian Lee. You're live on the UK radio.
Hi, Lane Lee.
This is the thing I've noticed about Americans, right? Because it's Ian, it's the capital I, right, at the start of my name. But I correspond with a lot of Americans for work stuff, okay? And whenever I send an email with my name, they always reply Lane. And when I phone up, they always reply Lane. They don't. I guess you guys don't have names that start with a capital I.
No, not too many.
Not too many. So it's Alexi, isn't it? Yep. Alexia.
Yes,
Alexia, you were driving the other day, and we all piled in on your Periscope. Where were you driving from, and where were you driving to, and how long was that journey really?
I was driving to Sioux City, Iowa, which is about an hour and 15 minutes from where I live to go to volleyball practice.
That's not a very long drive.
Not really, no.
I thought it was like, because you Americans, I thought it was like across country or something.
Oh, no.
What is Iowa like, Alexia? Because Iowa, to me, conjures up... It sounds kind of... it's one of those places that doesn't get mentioned as much as the obvious places, like Texas and New York and L.A. But I imagine Iowa is kind of countrified. There's big fields, there's big farms, and everyone's nice to each other, and they carry guns. Is that right?
Well, yeah, you're pretty much right about that. We don't carry... too many guns, just no. When it's about hunting season. But
Wow. Yeah, we have lots of fields. We're all really caring and nice to each other. Kind of like just one big family here.
That's it. See, that sounds nice. And that's what I want to imagine that all of America is like. But sadly, some of America is quite grotty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, we saw you, anyone who joined in the other night, saw you singing as you were driving along.
Did anyone else see me?
Yeah, we had. We had about 300 of us piled in to watch your Periscope feed, and we all saw you singing. And I thought you had a really good voice.
Well, thank you.
And I don't suppose there's any chance you could give us a little burst now, is there? Come on, Alexia. Come on.
I'd have to see what's on the radio or something.
Can you only sing along with the radio? That's
no,
cool.
I sing a cappella all the time.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay. Well, can we persuade you to just sing a little? You never know. One of the Beatles might be listening. I've met Ringo Starr, so he might be.
I sang the national anthem actually twice today for Memorial Day service here in Iowa.
Oh, of course, it's Memorial Day, isn't it, in the States? You got to sing the national anthem. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a bit of that?
I can if you want.
Yeah, go on. Let's have a bit of the American National Anthem for Memorial Day. That'd be lovely. Go on.
All right. Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket traces of unfading honor gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Come on, let's have that. That's fantastic. The line was a little bit wobbly, but your voice, Alexia, was fantastic. What do you do? What do you do for a living?
For a living, I'm a lifeguard. I just graduated from high school, so wow. I'm currently on break right now before I go to college.
Well, listen, you never know. Maybe this could be your big break, Alexia. You never know. Hey, listen, thanks so much for getting in touch and sending us your phone number, and thanks for being a good sport the other day.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Anytime, Alexia. You've got your follow me on Twitter. Anytime you want to get in touch, just give us a quick buzz. Thank you. Amelia, stay there. Come back to you after this.
Late night conversation. Worth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
So, I said there was a famous singer who, he was an actor, and he didn't want people to recognise him. I got it slightly wrong. He covered his face up before he was a really famous actor because he didn't want people to be distracted by his good looks. Someone's just sent me, hang on a sec, hang on, I've got that. Jack has sent me this. Here we go, listen to this.
Many girls
and
many guys
computer.
Life is such a test.
Let me go back a bit. Hang on a minute. This is where he explains what's going on here.
David invented a bizarre new persona to boost his profile.
I am the covered man.
Many girls. It's a man singing in a balaclava.
Complain that life is such a task.
The idea was that I didn't want to be known for what I look like. I want to be known for my music. And I did it.
Because I'm a man who has to be free.
I thought, this is a fantastic angle. What does he really look like? Is he hideous? Is he deformed? Why is he doing this? It's so hilarious to think that there was a handsome guy underneath this hood.
Very handsome guy. Who was the singer? David Soul, of course. David Soul. Amelia, we've kept you waiting far too long. What have you got for us, Amelia?
Well, Ian, I have a scary story from when I was about 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, hang on, we need the spooky music. Oh, I'm all over the place on the computer. Here we go. Go. Yes.
So,
hang on a minute. When you were 3 or 4 years old?
Yeah.
How can you remember that? Yes, it was only 9 years ago for you, but
it
still.
It's really scary.
The people can't remember the 3 or 4.
It's something I just remember because it was such a really scary thing.
All right, carry on. In that case, continue, Avu. Continue, Avu.
So, I was about 3 or 4 years old, and we lived in this flat. Yeah. And every night, there'd be like a thump or something would go on.
Yeah.
And one night, my mum was taking me to bed.
Yeah.
And on the stairs was this shadow. Gosh. And it was like a... It was a shadow, but it was very visible.
Yeah. A visible shadow.
Yeah. A visible shadow. It was, like, black.
Yeah.
And it had... You could visibly see its face and eyes and everything.
Whoa.
And I'd say, Mum, it's a shadow, it's a shadow. And then it would just fade away into the wall.
Yeah.
And so this carried on for loads of nights. And my mum and my brothers and my dad could never see the shadow. And... But sometimes at night, they would hear whispers in their ears saying, help me.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was this night when it kept on coming to my room at the door.
Oh, yeah.
I kept on saying, Mum, please, can I go to another room?
Yeah.
And she'd let me go into my bed, let me go into her bed. And so she went downstairs to watch TV, and I was still up in the bed. And the shadow came fading through the wall. And it would just fade in and fade out again. Anyway, so...
I'm listening. Hang on. Russ, are you listening?
I'm listening.
Russ, Russ, hang on a minute, Amelia, one sec. Russ, what the hell are you doing putting us on speakerphone?
Because I always do when I'm on hold.
Well, you're not on hold now, you're on air.
Yeah, you caught me unawares there.
Fantastic. Thank
you. I'm scared.
Right, carry on, Amelia. Got me and Russ listening. Two old men are scared now.
So, a few nights later, I was in my own bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night because I needed a drink, and on the ceiling above me was this big shadow again.
Yeah.
And the eyes, you know them big light bulbs which light up yellow? And it looked like they were in these massive eyes.
Light bulbs?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were 3 when this was going on?
3 or 4.
What? Okay, go on.
And the brightness was like light bulbs showing through the eyes.
Yeah.
And the fingers were wide apart, so it was easy to see.
Yeah.
But it was still a black shadow.
Yeah.
This shadow would appear anywhere, appear in the living room, on the stairs, on the wall, ceiling. And one night, my dad was downstairs making tea. It was like 1, 2 in the morning.
Yeah. What was your dad doing drinking tea at 1 or 2 in the morning? This is a very, I'm going to be honest, Amelia, this is a very suspicious family setup you've got there. 3-year-old seeing shadows made out of light bulbs and dad's drinking tea at 2 o'clock in the morning.
The eyes are made out of light bulbs.
What the hell is going on with you, woman? Okay.
He downstairs making tea and the door slammed.
He was drunk.
And then
he wasn't making tea. He was Kaylide. He was boozed up.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, I think he was drunk. He was slamming.
Well,
maybe his mum and dad have an argument. They were slamming doors. What was the slamming doors last night, Mum?
It was a ghost.
You weren't having an argument. No, it was definitely a ghost.
Oh God.
Have you? Do you still live in the same house?
No. I moved ages ago.
Oh, well, okay. Have you seen any ghosts since?
No, I don't think so, no.
Well, I'm not... Hey, do you go to the theatre, Amelia?
Yeah.
What do you go and see?
Just normal theatre stuff.
Well, like what? What was the last theatre thing you saw? Play, I think they call them, don't they? Yeah. What was the last play you saw?
The Woman in Black.
Oh, that's proper. Now that is supposed to be spooky, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really scary.
I have only ever seen one play that scared me. and I can't think what it was called. It was the guy starring in it, I think he wrote it, is the guy, one of the guys behind Derren Brown, not Andrew O'Connor, the other one. He's a really good actor. And it was it was loads of ghost stories. It was called Ghost Stories. There we go. I think it was called Ghost Stories. And it was proper scary, Amelia. I mean, proper, like, you know, whoa, this is a little bit dark and twisted. All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Nothing.
Cheers for calling. Thank you, Amelia. Yes, Russ, I can't play your music, Russ, because my computer's just crashed.
I'll let you off. I know you're having them teething problems with the new studio.
You know, these things happen, Russ. What you got for us?
Well, can I just say how impressive these young callers are that you keep getting?
Well, they're more coherent than the oldies.
Yeah.
Aren't they? That was a great call from Amelia.
Puts me to shame. There are quite a few of them.
Well, these things do.
Yeah, very good. Very impressive. Very impressive young lady. I just rang up for a bit of banter, really, bit of chat. And
thought, go on. Are you putting the computer back on now, please? Thank you. I tell you what I bought today. Because it's half term, right? 0844 499 1000. I tell you what I bought for the boys, because I'm going to have the boys on Thursday and Friday. I went online and got some Vankers.
Some what?
Got some Vankers.
What are they when they're at home?
Oh, Vankers. They're a make of kites, right? I was going to buy some kites. I want to buy a kite, right? I was looking through them. I didn't know you choose a good kite. And then there's a kite made by a company called Vankers. And I thought, well, I'm totally going to get myself a Vanker. Just literally for this 2 minutes of radio. They were cheap. I don't know if they've been any good, but I can now officially say I bought a Vanker today.
The overhead cables.
We've all seen those horror films from those public information ones. No, I was out when I was out running today. I saw a family with a kite, and I thought, oh, yeah. Now, and the thing with kites, right? Buy cheap kites, right? Because I remember years ago I had a stunt kite. I could never get it up steady. But then a couple of years ago we bought for £5 a Thomas the Tank Engine kite, right? It was £5. It would go up at the drop of a hat. Seriously, if you blew on it, it would start flying. Cheap kites, it's the way forward, Russ.
I had a nice one years ago. It's called UFO Sam or something. I don't know. My nan bought me it, and it was like made out of foil, and it was like oval shaped.
Yeah.
And once it'd get up in the air, it actually whizzed round. It had got like pivots. I don't know where it came from, where it went, but it was dead cool until it snapped and went flying off down the beach at real seafront.
There's something inherently satisfying about flying a kite, and I think Thursday, if the weather's any good, we're going to go and fly a kite. Then Saturday night, we're going to go over to the woods just as it's getting dark. We're going to go on a bat hunt and an owl hunt, because I know some trees where the owls live. So we're going to go and watch them. That's what we're going to do. That's the plan, Russ.
That sounds great, mate. I used to do that with my dad. Used to take us up Cannock Chase, me and my mates, when we were kids, like, and
I'll take a little flask with some whiskey in, and I'll take 20 Rothmans, and I'll educate those boys.
they'll never. No, seriously though, it's simple things like that, mate, that'll live in their memories forever.
Here's the thing I said to my 6-year-old. Right, we went out for a walk Saturday night. I got back late, and I took the dog out for a walk, and he was up, and cause it was no Sunday night, and because it was half term, I said, "Yeah, come and walk with the dog for me about 8 o'clock at night." And it was such a nice evening, and we walked in the woods and we pretended we got a bit lost and it was all spooky. Then we went and sat on a tree, right? We went and sat on a tree. And I said, right, do me a favour, right? And you're going to think I'm nuts, right? And this won't mean anything to you, and it might not work. But if it works, in about 40 years, you're going to remember what I'm about to say to you now. And he went, all right. I said, right. We were leaning against this tree. I said, right, I want you to feel what the tree feels like on your back and on your bum, right? He's like, okay, so just feel it for a second, right? Now, look through that gap in those trees at the sun setting, right? And just really look at what that looks like. And he's like, all right. I said, now breathe in, right, and smell, because the grass was really long. He said, smell the grass, right? He said, yeah. I said, right, now look at me and just remember looking at me, sat next to me, and we were kind of snuggled up next to each other, right? With the and when you're older, if you ever get that light in the same way again, or you ever smell that smell again, or you ever sat on a tree in this similar position, you should remember this exact moment and remember how special it was, just me and you sat on a tree in the woods. Of course, he's 6 years old. He's like, yeah, whatever. But, Russ, if that worked, right, if that little seed is planted, that could be, when I'm dead and gone and long gone, right, that could be a pivotal memory in his life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I'll tell you something, right, here's something to try for Thursday.
Yeah, go on.
You've got the woods.
Yeah.
If you get a chance in the afternoon, right, go up the woods beforehand.
Yeah.
Get some little treats, like yeah. sweets, something small, right? Find, if you can, ideally, a hollow tree or something
yeah.
significant.
Yeah.
Plant hide the sweets there, right?
Hide the swag, yeah.
No, right, seriously.
Yeah, no, I'm doing it. I'm there. Go on.
My friend's nan used to do it, and she used to take us a walk regularly down the fields, down the brook when we were kids. Yeah. We were only dead small. And there was this hollowed-out tree, you know, that was rotten. And she used to tell us that, I don't know whether it was fairies or something, some creatures, the little people, something like that, had left. Yeah. And we used to get to this edge of this field, which is an old bomb crater, and we'd sprint as fast as we could to beat each other. She used to do it regularly to see what they'd left and see if they'd left anything for us. And it was so exciting. I mean, that stuck in my memory. And about your lad's age.
Russ, listen, I've got to go because I'm late for a break. But thank you, Russ. I'll have a bit of that. 0844 499 1000.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
That's how you do it. It may not work. It may not work. And I'll never know because I'll be dead before that little memory bomb pops up again. But I reckon if you just get the... if he's ever in that position where he sat on a tree or he sat with his son or the sunlight or the smell, boom, that'll take him back in time. That's time travel. That's proper time travel. Well, I say proper. It's not as proper as Flight 1942. Now, that's proper time travel. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It's a bank holiday Monday. It's, you know, it's kind of hot and it's sweaty and it's... and we haven't got any more calls. So, I'll sit here and chat if you want. A bit bunged up. I'll sit here and chat. If you want to join in, you're more than welcome to. And if you don't want to join in, well, screw you then. I'm joking, of course. Well, then you don't have to. But it's up to you. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you call between now and 12, we will call you back. And after 12, we'll take calls straight to air. We'll take calls straight to air. I had a lovely weekend with the boys, actually, on Saturday. Was it Saturday? Yeah, we got the train into London. And you forget, when you're an adult, right, you kind of forget the magic that is in the mundane. Because trains are boring, right? I don't get trains very often, so I still actually quite enjoy them and find them a little bit exciting. Also, it means I can normally read if I'm on a train. I can't read when I'm driving particularly well. But trains are kind of boring, and we're not. But to a 6 and a 4-year-old, trains are like, whoa, we're going to go on a train. Yeah? Even the act of buying tickets is a buzz for those guys, right? So we came into London, we got the train into London, and we came to Waterloo. And we went along the South Bank, and it was packed, man. And we watched some street entertainers. We watched a contortionist put himself in a tiny box. And we watched some BMX boys having a lot of fun doing some stunts and stuff. And the boys love that. And then I brought the boys into here to come and have a little look around here. Again, you know, this place is work. You know, it's the Giggle Factory. It's where dreams come true. And compared to other places I've worked and where my wife works, it's tiny, particularly where she works at the BBC. It's massive, you know. So they go there. There's all these different levels to run around in and play in. And here, it's kind of, it's a tiny corner of a tiny office and one studio. But they loved all that. And then we went and saw a play. Now, there's a... I've got to be careful because I don't want to do any spoilers because this play was so good. That's why I was asking Amelia about what she goes and sees. But this is probably a little bit... This is actually significantly younger than her 12 years old. But we went to the Unicorn Theatre, right? Which is this amazing theatre where they do a lot of kids' plays. It's near London Bridge in London, obviously. Yeah. And we've been to see a show there before, and we went to see a show. And now I'm wondering how much I can tell you about it, because I don't want to spoil it, but I want to convey how magical the show was. Proper magic. They created actual... Oh, wait, 444991000. Richard, I'll be with you in a second. They created actual, proper magic on and off the stage, right? It started off really awkwardly, and I was thinking, oh, this isn't going to be very good. Big, long journey into town and load of money on the tickets and all of this stuff, and it's going to be rubbish. But very quickly, like 3 or 4 minutes into it, it became apparent that the awkwardness was deliberate and that was part of the show. And once I got that, I was like, ah, I'm in. It's like this show. We have moments sometimes. Sometimes they happen spontaneously and sometimes I create them where it's a little bit awkward for me and awkward for you, the listener. And they were doing this with this show and it was wonderful. And it was Septimus Bean and His Amazing Machine. Now, it's based on the book. I've not read the book. Sorry, sniffing. I'll blow my nose in a minute. I've not read the book, right? And I need to read the book because I imagine they did something very, very clever with it. I imagine it's one of those thin books. It's probably got about 20-odd pages, a big book. And they turned it into an hour's worth of theatre by repetition. It was flipping hilarious, right? Just, for adults and kids, just hilarious, right? Just the right amount of scary. There was one moment, and I can say this. I won't say what happens in the ending. I think I can say this, and this isn't necessarily a spoiler, right? Spoiler. If you're thinking of going, then turn off for 2 minutes. Basically, this guy invents a machine, right? And he doesn't know what it does. And he keeps coming on with a different machine each time. Keeps coming on with a different machine. And he had this one machine. He comes on, and it's a suitcase. And he plonks his suitcase down. And at one end, there's a hairdryer. And the other end, there's a balloon, right? And he turns on the machine. And the hairdryer basically pumps the balloon up really, really slowly. And it's obvious, right? The punchline is going to be the balloon is going to blow up. It's obvious. But knowing that's what was going to happen made it really tense. So the machine is really loud, and they kind of started turning the volume of the machine up. They played a drone over it. So it got really, really loud. And the actors, you could barely hear what they were saying with this drone. And the lights went down and just kind of focused in on this machine. And we're sat there, all tense as anything. Because we know... Did the kids... Well, I don't know if the kids necessarily... Well, some of the kids would have known. But it's obvious that this balloon is going to explode. Now, when a balloon explodes, right, it's normally a spontaneous thing. You go, oh, what was that? However many times, oh, what was that? Kids' parties, it's like, oh, jeez. And we're sat there looking at this balloon, waiting for it to blow up, right? I'm tempted to do this as a 10-minute act in a comedy club. Just go on and slowly pump up a balloon until it blows up. That would be an act I'd pay top dollar to see. We're sat there, this audience of about 100 people, kids and adults, watching this balloon. This menacing drone noise is getting louder and louder, and the lights are getting darker and darker until all you can see is this suitcase with this balloon on the end. This scene went on for about 5 minutes. And then, boy, it went like that. It was fantastic. Two babies started screaming. Brilliant. And everybody did, the whole theatre went, oh! And then started laughing and applauding. It was a joy, an absolute joy. And it made me think, right, I've been to see loads of kids' theatre. I've been in some kids' theatre back in the day, right? And a lot of it, a significant amount of it, is rubbish, is kind of really patronising, is ill thought out, and is either too grown up for them, they don't understand kids, or is too babyish for them, they don't understand kids. And this Septimus Bean at the Unicorn Theatre... It was just spot on in its delivery and the way it was written. Perfect. 0844-499-1000. Richard, come back to you after this.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hip, 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 Richard.
Ian, good evening.
Good evening, Richard. 0844-499-1000, by the way, if you want to call in. Yes, Richard.
Ian, long-time listener, second-time caller.
Second-time caller. Why are you on speakerphone? Everyone's on speakerphone this evening.
I promise I'm not on speakerphone. I've just got a terrible... My mobile has been dropped in water 1,000 times, so the quality might not be great. Oh. I do apologise to you and all the listeners.
Well, apology is considered. What was the first call, Richard?
The first call was on Absolute. There was a guy who called in who started off being very, very strange, and you held back on destroying him, and it... Midway through the call, it was apparent he was not well,
right.
And you talked him down beautifully, and it was wonderful. It was just wonderful, and I never called into a radio station before, and I just thought I've got to ring you and say you smashed it. Basically, it was brilliant.
Well, it's funny because I remember a lot of the Absolute show being a little bit. Mean is too strong a word. I hadn't quite got to this point in my life yet where I'm finding it easier to be nice. Do you know what I mean? I was still finding it easier to be a bit nasty and belittle people, I think.
Yes. I can talk about that. That's another thing I could definitely talk about. Can we be candid, Ian? Can we speak openly?
Let's be candid and open, Richard. Why the hell not?
Have you ever done magic mushrooms or LSD?
Well, we can be candid and we can be... Why do you ask?
The reason I ask that is because I think I think I've got quite a good sense of humour. I think I used to take the P1S5 out of people a bit. And then in my youth, I experimented with hallucinogenics and it opened my mind to the world. I suddenly got perspective on every single other person's point of view and I suddenly... became hugely empathetic, and I think that's when I became the nicest version I could ever be of myself. And I wonder if you've ever had anything like that. I know you've obviously played around in your time, but I wonder if you've ever had such an experience. The only reason I mentioned that's not why I'm calling, of course.
No.
It's just that was what gave me perspective on everything and made me suddenly realise that.
Here's my thing, and I can identify that with a psychedelic experience. Yes, but I've got to couch this slightly carefully, right? I have been reminded this evening by a couple of the callers that we've had that actually this show gets a lot of young callers, right? Particularly because it's half term, and therefore it's kind of I have to act responsibly, and I have to sometimes do you know what I mean? I sometimes have to swerve certain questions.
Of course, and that was not why I called.
Not at all. And I'm not angry you asked me. I'm just aware that I don't want to in any way encourage some of the younger listeners to do stuff that I may or may not have done. And I also, if I come out, I mean, you know, I don't drink and I don't take drugs, right? And I haven't done for a long, long time. You can fill in the gaps there if you want, right? But I'm also aware that if I come on and go, well, yeah, I did acid and I went tripping and I did cocaine and if I come on with a list of drugs that I may or not have done, then suddenly that becomes a story, you know, and that becomes what defines me in the eyes of some people. So I'm gonna salute in a psychedelic fashion. I'm gonna acknowledge that question and I'm gonna hum quietly
let's
to
go
myself.
Down the other road.
Yeah, go on.
Let's go down the other road.
I'm enjoying this, by the way,
calling.
Richard. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. The reason I was calling and. I don't want what I'm about to say to sound in any way like I'm showing off, and I'm not. The reason I'm saying this to you is because, obviously, you hear people calling in with problems and this and that. And at the moment, the reason I'm ringing is because my life is so good right now.
We don't hear that very often.
That's
great news.
Why I thought I'd call. That's why I thought I'd call, because I thought I just want... It's not, half of life is luck and the other half is chance, as we all know. But at work at the minute, I'm going for this promotion and everything's going very, very well. I proposed to my girlfriend, my long-term girlfriend, in November last year. We're going to get married next year.
Wow.
This weekend, we moved into our first house together that we've ever bought. And you know, today we went outside and we took all the pictures as we brought the for sale sign down. And I'm just, I don't know if I'm, I mean, obviously I've not experienced the birth of a child or these amazing things that are going to happen on my wedding or anything else like that. But right now, the planets have aligned and I feel just, I just feel happy. I just feel so, so happy right now. And I just thought, why not? I listen to you every night. Why not ring in and tell him?
Well, congratulations. And that
thank
will sound
so
trite, but I genuinely mean it. And my initial thing, I'm a bit envious. I'm envious of your happiness because that's not where I'm at the moment. But I'm also envious of all of those wonderful firsts you just listed. Those wonderful firsts, the proposing, the buying the house, the wedding coming up, the taking down the for sale sign, the, you know, all of that stuff is fantastic. And I will never have those firsts ever again, you know, and a lot of people won't. So okay, how am I feeling? I'm feeling slightly envious. I'm feeling slightly sad, slightly romantic and wistful. Yeah, those are good things to be feeling. So thank you for that.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And this is not to say that I have been in any way had this easy, and we won't even go, you know, I will call again and we can talk about the highs and lows of my life. But at this stage of the roller coaster that is Richard, I am at an absolute peak right now. And I'm just delighted. And I know the downs will come. I know the downs will come. But at this stage, I just thought to just tell you and just tell the listeners that obviously there's so much sadness and so much happiness out there. And I'm very, very, very lucky to be in a position where I'm just, things are just superb right now.
And you raise a really interesting point because of, and it's the nature, because I'm hosting this show, you know, I will subconsciously and consciously dictate the tone of the show because I'm struggling a bit. At the moment, the show, and also because I think it's a cool. I think it's a good thing to talk about mental health and depression and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of the tone that the show has taken. So to have someone phone up and introduce some joy, and we've had joy in the show, but introduce some genuine personal joy in a celebratory tone is brilliant. So thank you for that, mate.
It's an absolute pleasure, Ian. And like I say, I shall call again when the downs come, and you'll console me, I hope.
Well, don't leave it another, you know, 5 or 6 years, wherever long it is, Richard.
No. Well, listen, I'll tell you what I've done. At the back of my new house, I have a lovely utility room where I am weaning myself slowly off cigarettes. So when I'm here and my girlfriend, fiance, forgive me, is asleep in bed, I shall call again and we shall discuss whatever subject you wish.
Hey, just stop the smoking. Just stop it. The Alan Carr.
It's filthy.
Oh, it's horrible. The Alan Carr book did it for me.
I had one of these vapor pens, these vapor pens, and I dropped it the other day, and that was I didn't even touch a cigarette, and then now I'm just thinking, oh, it's the evening, oh, I'll just have one. It's a horrible, horrible habit, and I would encourage any of the young ears that are listening tonight to
They're not going to hear that. Of course, they're not going to hear that, and you know they're going to go their own ways. The problem I have with vaping, right? Yes, it stops people smoking. Yes, it's less damaging. We don't know quite what, if any, damage it causes, but it's still promoting addiction because people will still be addicted to nicotine. And what gets me angry, right, is it's the same companies as the cigarette companies. It's the same people behind it. They, if people go on to vaping, right, they're still paying the same companies money, but they'll pay them more money because they will be vaping for longer than they will be smoking because the smoking won't kill, you know, the vaping won't necessarily kill them. So they could be vaping off into their 80s and 90s. Well, they're not smoking. Yeah, but you're still promoting addiction. You're still taking money from people by having them addicted to something.
And
that
nobody knows what the future is going to do either.
No.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, for reasons we shan't discuss, there's often cigarettes in this house. And that's when I'll occasionally go, oh, you know, I'll just pinch one. But a terrible thing. But of all the reason, you know, saying how good life is at the moment, if I could, once that's gone as well, bloody hell, I'll call again and tell you how fantastic I'm feeling, how healthy I am.
Good, good. Do it. Listen, Richard, nice to talk to you, mate.
Oh, what a pleasure, Ian. Have a great evening. And stay chipper, stay positive.
Thank you, mate. Ta-ta.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. There we go. Well, he's right. We don't, peak Richard. We don't, someone's saying, we don't embrace enough. We don't like success. And by success, I don't mean millions of pounds of stuff. I mean the success in the example that Richard was explaining it. You know, that his life's all right. His life's not all right. It's good. And it's on the upswing. And we don't really acknowledge that enough in life in general, not just on this show. In life in general, we don't. And maybe we need to a little bit. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. One quick thing about my kids. So we went and saw this play, and it was brilliant. At the Unicorn Theatre, Septimus Bean is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I cannot rave about it enough. And then it was near the Thames, and I said, all right, boys, well, let's go to the Thames, and we can see if we can find to get a boat trip somewhere. They said, no, thanks. I said, Daddy won't be driving the boat. If you were listening to the show last week, you'll know exactly what that's a reference to. Daddy crashed the boat that we were in. So we were heading towards the Thames, and they had one of those piazzas. You know those squares where there's, like, shops around it and places to sit? And they had these fountains that came out at random points. You know the ones that's not in a fountain? It's on the floor. And the boys said, can we go and run through the fountain? I said, yeah, of course you could, thinking they would just run through the dry bits. And they didn't. They ran right through the water, and they got soaking wet. And I'm just stood there going, oh, jeez. And I said, right, out of there now. Sit down. Because it was quite warm. I thought they might dry, but they were soaking wet. And I said, right, boys, I'm very angry with you. You're soaking wet. I've got no clean clothes. We haven't got time for a boat trip now. Now we need to go into Oxford Street, which I didn't want to go to, and buy some new clothes. So this is going to cost me a lot of money, and it's, you know, scuppered our afternoon. And then I said, now that's me talking to you as a daddy, but what I think you did was really, really funny, actually. But I'm still angry. I'm allowed to be angry. But what you did was very, very funny. And then we went into central London, and I said to my eldest, here's a thing for you. Right, you know you're in trouble, right, because what you did. He said, yeah, I'm really sorry, it's okay. Did the fun outweigh the amount of trouble that you're in? And his face, you could see him considering this possibility. Did the fun outweigh the amount of trouble you're in? And he thought about it for about a minute, and he went, Yeah. I think it did. I think the fun was more than the trouble. And I went, right, well, you keep that in mind, son. I thought it was very funny, but I had to tell you off. Now, let's go and buy some new clothes. Call straight to air after this.
Talk Radio.
Man, I'm tired. Another hour to go, though, guys. We'll take call straight to air for the last hour of the show. Kath will come in when she's got the podcast all up and ready. If you've not listened to the last hour before, well, it's even more laid back and free-flowing than the first 2 hours. Don't call in now, OK? I'll tell you when to call in, all right? This is Ian Lee, and you're listening to Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Thank you.
life as much as I do in this light she's under. Me and Magdalena, always leaving early and sleeping late. Secluded in the canyon, lost within a turn of fate. But no, everything lost will be recovered when we drift into the arms of the undiscovered.
Me. I've been sent a text by Barry from Watford, of all people. And when I find out which one of you gave Barry from Watford my mobile number, I will be furious. Id, was it you? I don't know if that's what you do over in New Zealand, but in this country, we do not give the callers the host's telephone numbers. That does not happen, dude.
Only your voicemail number.
Well, that's the same thing, you muppet!
Oh, you idiot.
Anyway. No, different. It was different. I swear it wasn't me anyway. I have no idea.
Barry from Watford has sent me a text during that saying, make sure you back announce it. Back announce it? Back announce it?
What do you think this is?
This is the heart or something? We need to back announce it. Well, it was the Monkees. That's from their new album. That's me and Magdalena. I see Gervais jumping on the Monkees bandwagon.
Oh, is he?
Tweeting about that song. Oh, I love that song. Oh, yeah, Gervais, get out of it, mate. They're mine, Gervais. You're not having the Monkees, all right? That is not happening at all. Catherine joins me back in the studio.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, you all right?
I've got a bit
got a touch of the rays.
Touch of the rays, yeah. Touch of the race. We'll take calls straight to air for the last hour.
Oh, God, oh really blimey.
Are. I had... does cheese make you fat?
Yeah.
Oh. I found a cheese board in the fridge. Well, this is the thing. Last night, I found I ate a whole trifle. Well, there was a whole trifle being sat in the fridge for a day, for a week, and it was going to expire at midnight last night. I thought, well, I can't allow that.
To think what Julian McKeith would find in your stools, hundreds and thousands.
She wasn't a real doctor, and yet she would examine people's poos.
Yeah.
Kind of, she's a real pervert.
She'd always say, oh, it stinks. Yeah, that's why it's called poo and not sweets.
She'd get people to poo in Tupperware. Remember when she pretended to faint on I'm a Celebrity?
Yeah, hilarious.
Where is she these days?
She was on Big Brother last year.
Bear Grylls. They've axed his show, haven't they?
Why?
Because no one was watching it.
Oh. Chief scouts him.
That was the Monkees, Barry from Watford. Thank you. Last hour of the show. The way it works is you call us and you come straight to air. 0844 499 1000, 7 pence a minute, plus access charge. Significantly more from some mobiles, you can check. But you can phone in, and I'm expecting us not to get too many calls this hour, which is fine. As I said, it's Bank Holiday Monday. Mm-hmm. Bank Holiday Monday at the beginning of a half term. So loads of people have gone away. On breaks and what have you. So
I heard my neighbour's kids screaming across the street to the other neighbour saying, we're going on holiday this morning. And then the dad going, I'm not. Just in case the burglar was listening.
Burglars were listening, exactly. Mm. Yes. They're repeating that secret life of pups, human pups.
Right.
Perverts. People that... Well, adults that dress up as dogs and then...
apparently from the guy from Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
I wonder who was chasing that with the old place.
Yeah.
To get him on. Yeah. We know exactly who would get him on. He wasn't doing it in a sexual way, even though it was a rubber suit. And the last time I checked, Dalmatians aren't made of rubber.
Come on, guys.
Anyway, he went to this... I watched it on Gogglebox. He went to this convention in... I'm going to say Holland.
Yeah.
Where he was the only doggy that did have a bottom in his trousers.
Oh, the others were bare bum.
Yeah, and they were like humping each other and stuff. That was their act. And he went on and like played fetch for 5 minutes. Didn't win.
Have you ever been to a convention?
Not one like that, no.
They are they're not really that big over here. I've been to a couple of KISS conventions over here. I hosted a couple of KISS conventions. So I used to be quite a big KISS fan. And they were big deals, like, you know...
People dress up, right?
People would dress up, and I had to judge the tattoo competition and the makeup competition. Of course I'm going to give it to a nine-year-old with Gene Simmons makeup on. Of course I'm going to do that. And it was good, and they had a couple of members from KISS, like from 80s KISS, were there and stuff.
And you have to pay for their signatures and that, don't you?
You didn't there, I don't think. I mean, I paid $100 for a monkey signature, and that was... But it was good, and it was nice. It was quite, I mean, it was quite small. It was over 2 days, right? And they were Dressed to Kill, who were a brilliant KISS tribute band. Dressed to Kill. Ian Dante's in Dressed to Kill. Ian Dante, who's on Talk Sport. Yeah. He's the drummer. He's the Catman.
Oh, he told me. That was the way he introduced himself.
Yeah. He's the Catman. I've sung with Dressed to Kill. They're a brilliant band. It was not. And it's what's nice about it, right? 0844 499 1000 is that it's you're sharing a weekend. With
what, 900, weekend?
Yeah. With 999 people who have a common interest, who are interested in something enough to go and stay in, you know, it was in Nottingham, I think. Go and stay in a travel lodge in Nottingham. And, but, so that was the only experience I had of it. I went to a Doctor Who convention years ago when I was a kid, but that was rubbish. I was in a school in Wimbledon. But then a couple of years ago, I went to the Monkees convention.
Yeah, I remember you went to America, didn't you?
I went to, New Jersey, middle of nowhere, right? And I've texted the woman I need to finish that film.
Oh, for heaven's sake!
Made a short film about it, and it's good. Anyway, and it was massive. It was massive. Basically, they'd taken over a hotel, and there were people from all over the world. Loads of Brits there. Loads of people from all over America. Loads of Americans complaining it was in New Jersey. Why isn't this on the West Coast? I mean, it's in the same flipping country, you lazy gits. I've had to get a plane. Some people from Japan. I think there's some Japanese people there. And maybe a couple of people from Australia. And it was brilliant. It was a whole weekend. I actually found it very, very sad. Emotionally sad. Not, oh, look at these sad people. Because I went straight in. I was lucky because I was... I was making a little film. Mm-hmm. B,
you did a talk, didn't you?
That was it. I was showing some videos. I had some rare videos, right? Yeah. Some rare videos that no one else had. And so I gave a presentation. And on the last day, they had a panel. And they said, Ian, someone's dropped out of the panel. Eric Lefkowitz has dropped out of the panel. Would you be able to come and sit on the panel? I said, honestly, the people you've got on there are like proper experts. They said, you can just talk in your wonderful English accent and people will love you. And they did. And it was brilliant. I spent an absolute flipping fortune there. It was brilliant sharing a weekend in a hotel with people who were all similarly minded. Do you know what I mean, Line 1?
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. Hip.
Good evening. A couple of time films for you, Ian.
Yep.
I don't know if you've seen them. Triangle.
Oh!
I love it.
That is a great film, isn't it? And well, I watched that with very, very low expectations. Oh, it's good.
We mustn't give too much away. No. That's the trouble with these films. No. You can't really say a lot about
them. I tried to sell this film to you, Kath, and you didn't like the sound of it. It's got that Australian woman from Home and Away in it.
Melissa George.
Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she is brilliant in it. It is such a good film.
When you get her in the right part, you can't beat her. I don't think she's good at anything.
I don't know why that film wasn't huge, because it was dark, it was clever, and then just when you think you've got a handle on it, it just pushes it a little bit further. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Exactly. And I found that I watched quite a lot of it again, and then there's all sorts of little hints and bits and pieces which you don't notice. I mean, I had to read up on it a bit, but... There's lots of stuff going on there. Okay, that's good. That's great to hear somebody else like
that. Oh, I love it. I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, no, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. A real cracking film, yeah. Look, mate, you can get it for 24 pence on Amazon. 24 pence!
What?
Plus 126. I'm buying that. And that will count as research towards my book. There we go. Triangle, buying that.
And so it begins.
Triangle is bought. Beautiful. Go on, what was the other one?
The other one would be, have you seen the one called Yella? It's not a very promising title. Y Yella. When you have to spell the title, you're struggling.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know Yella.
Yella. This is 2007. Yeah. It's a German film with subtitles. Don't let that put you off, though.
No. Hang on, I've got it. Hang on a second. Yella. Hang on, we got it. Following a near-death experience, Yella, Nina Hoss, flees her Eastern German hometown, failed marriage and broken dreams to start again in Hanover. By chance, she finds work with ambitious and determined young executive Philip. It doesn't mention time travel.
Well, now you see, we mustn't give too much.
Ordered. Hey, one more, right, before we go to the break, right? And I can't remember what it's called, so you might have to help me fill in the blanks, right? It's where a guy places an advert in a newspaper, right? Mm. And some journalists see it and think they'll do it as like a crank story. And it says, partner wanted to travel through time, must be good with weapons and fighting or something, right? Have you seen it? Well, I think it's called... what is it? Oh, flipping heck. Someone on Twitter will know what it's called, right? It is brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. And they go and interview this guy, right? And he turns out he's a nut job, right? But he's got a machine that he thinks is a time machine. And again, I can't say too much about it.
Yeah.
Someone will know it.
Are we going to a break?
Yeah, we're going to a break. Why, do you want to give us one more?
Well, I just say one. I just wanted to say that I have seen The Human Caterpillar. I save that for another.
Oh, jeez.
And I'll end on this bombshell that I do actually have my own time machine, and I might tell you about that someday. Hip, hip, hip!
Hip, hip, hip! But you already did tell us about it next Thursday!
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Safety Not Guaranteed is the film.
Gosh.
It's Safety Not Guaranteed. It's a good film. Mm-hmm. It's a really good film.
Well, I look forward to you telling me all about it.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. 7 pence a minute plus access charge. Significantly more from some mobiles. Calls come straight to air at this point in the show. Okay, let's play the game. Gina Davis, Nicolas Cage. So we're meant to play this last 2 weeks. If you want to join in the game, you're more than welcome to. 0844 499 1000. You have to name a female or male performer and their female or male equivalent.
Boom. Okay.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's a good one. Obvious one, Brian May. Anita Dobson.
Okay.
You got it? Have you got the game? Does the game make sense? It's slightly unusual, but I think we can make this work.
Ray Winstone. Kathy
Who?
Burke. Ray Winstone.
Who?
Ray Winstone.
Thank you.
Kathy Burke.
Ray Winstone.
That's how he spells it.
Yeah, but it's like Ken Livingstone.
Ken Livingstone.
Dr. Livingstone, I presume.
Dr. Livingstone,
Yes, line one.
Hello.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
There we go.
Hello, is this me?
Yeah, this is you.
Oh, it's Oliver again from earlier.
Oh, hey, Oliver.
Hey.
Hi, how are you guys? Sorry, I didn't expect to go on so early, and I'm like a minute behind from the computer.
Oh, okay.
I got a little bit confused.
Turn the computer off and forget the computer.
No, the computer is now on silent.
Okay, good. What you got for us, Oliver?
Nothing. Oh, well. I heard you mention Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I agree, that film's flipping amazing. Like, I tried to show it my friends, they didn't get it.
Yeah.
It's just so good, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's so clever and so well done.
I know, it's like the ending. You can't say what happens because it's such
there's also that beautiful scene. There's a song in there, isn't there? He sings a song, and the song is incredible, isn't it?
When they're at the campsite.
Yeah. I remember getting a little bit obsessed with the song. What was the song? I'm trying to find it now. Safety Not Guaranteed. Song. Here we go. The song was, I remember
right.
being... Here we go. Listen to this. This is the...
Right.
Hang on. Whack this up, Ed. Whack this up.
Who's that? Is that a guitar?
No,
it's always one.
It's... Please?
No, it's not.
Here we go. Listen to this song, right? Hang on. Let me find it.
Right.
Hang on, it's coming. I'm just jumping. There we go. Listen to this. This is stunning.
Stand straight, fall back in line. Comb your hair, get to work on time. Everyone in the big machine tries to break your heart and pull you underneath. Maybe I'm wrong and all that you get is what you see. Maybe I'm right and there's something out there to believe. Everybody's talking in their sleep.
Oh.
They push a lot of air around, but don't say much of anything. Except when they laugh at me, like ghosts under a sheet. Everybody's talking in their sleep.
Ooh. Oh man!
That's such a lovely song, isn't it?
And it's, and what's great is because he's been the joke of the film. You think he's mentally subnormal, and he's like this big idiot. And then I've got goosebumps. And then he just sings that, and it's stunning, isn't it?
Yeah, and it kind of, that's another part of the film where you kind of start going, wait.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like what?
Yeah, maybe there's more to this fella than there's. Oh, I've just ordered it on DVD, exactly. So I'm having this again this week. Yeah.
I think it was on Netflix when I saw it. I
don't think it's on Netflix anymore. It was. Thank you for that, Oliver. I'm glad you reminded me of that song, because that's a cracker.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Nice one, man. Anything else?
There was something in my head, and now I've forgotten it.
Don't matter. You can call back again if you remember it. Thank you for that. Good song, huh?
Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen Scott Thomas.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Okay, I'm kind of out already. This is a really tough game, and I invented the rules to this, and it's a toughie. Bear with me. Oh, hang on a second, Saved by the Bell. Yes, line one, you're on the wireless.
Kids on half term, don't do mushrooms. If you do, you might end up going to a KISS convention.
Yeah, that's and that the truth. Thank you for that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Warning against any psychoactive things. Okay, that's not bought me as much time as I was hoping it would buy me. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. Hip.
Good. Rebel Wilson, Matt Lucas.
Yeah, I'll give you that. All right.
They live together as well, so they kind of work.
They live together?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Where?
In LA. Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah, the Never Eat Shredded West Coast.
Okay. Yeah. Why did Shredded Wheat never sue Compasses? Because that must have done
know.
Them. That whole Never Eat Shredded Wheat thing must have really hit business. Mm. Must have really hit them.
I didn't eat it, but, you know, gluten-free.
I think I've made this game too hard for me. Kathy, you got another one?
Let me think. Okay.
It's a toughie, this one, but I
think, it is.
I think maybe we've gone too right. soft before.
Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot for Janine.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Ooh. They're both short.
They're both short, kind of cute, and deep.
Well, Keira Knightley and Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, yeah.
God, you guys are good at this.
You know, they're there. They're in. They're done.
you guys are good at this.
All right, come on, let's do another one. You can do another one.
Okay.
I can't think of any.
All right, here we go. Helena Bonham Carter.
Is a massive farter.
And Richard E. Grant. Or is that... No.
No.
All right, Helena Bonham Carter. Who would she be?
She's Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. All right, Richard E. Grant is a bit more kind of... he's another Kristen Scott Thomas type, isn't he?
He's that kind of one. What about Kate Beckinsale?
Oh.
Hang on a minute. Line two, you're on.
Male and female equivalent. Jodie Marsh and David Furnish.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not having that, computer lady. Here we go, on the text.
Wear a belt dress.
Judy Dench, Dame Judy Dench, and Sir Derek Jacobi.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have that. I'll have that. It's a good game, but I think I might have invented a game that's too highbrow for me.
Charles Dance.
Yes.
And Dame Maggie Smith.
Yeah.
What about Judy Finnegan and Michael Ball? No?
Michael Balls.
Well, Richard and Judy are they're the opposite of each other. They're the ones.
Yeah, Michael Ball is more
Danny LaRue.
No, they're both men.
Well, only part of the time was Danny LaRue a man. When he was a woman, he was not.
Michael Ball is more like
Elaine Page.
Yeah.
Well, I've made a game that's too hard for me to play.
You need to give it a bit more thought.
I need to give it a little bit more thought. Something I tend not to do. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call.
Late night, Ian Lee
on air and off the leash
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, then you can. And if you don't, then that's fine. It's half term, and I know we've got lots of young people listening, and that's beautiful. And dig all of that, man. There's not a lot in the papers. There's there's the monkey that got shot.
Mm.
200,000 people have.
Well, you know why.
Twitter.
It's been pylon, won't it?
200,000 people have signed a petition saying they want the parents of the child, the four-year-old child that fell into the monkey enclosure.
I bet Petter have jumped on it.
To be done for manslaughter or something. Which is nuts, really. I mean, well, how did he get in there? You've got to wonder. But if my kid was getting picked up by a monkey, I'd want it. I'd go and smack it over the head with a bottle. If a dog was biting my kid, I'd kick it in the face.
Mm.
If it wouldn't let go of it, I'd kick it in the face. And then deal with the consequences. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put the finger up the bum, no, because you got... I wouldn't do that. If I had to, I would, yeah.
You would just find yourself in the middle of it, wouldn't you?
But if a dog was attacking my kid or my dog and was like was locked on and would not let go, I'd kick it in the face. Not a problem with that. Kick it in the face. As soon as the kid was free, I'd lift the kid up in the air. The dog can bite me for all it's worth. I'll kick the what's it out of it. And then the owners can come and sue me. Sue me? Sue this. Kick them in the face.
Wow, there's a lot of kicking going on.
I'll kick everyone in the face.
It's an imaginary scenario.
Shoot the monkey. All right, it's an endangered species, right? All right, and it's sad, right?
And the kid shouldn't have been in there. But the kid was in there.
This is obvious, right? And I know some people that would disagree with this. The kid is more important than the monkey, right? Right? There's only 25 of these monkeys around. How many kids are there?
Can you imagine the furore if they'd have just stood there while the kid got ripped from limb to limb?
They waited 10 minutes before shooting it as well. 10 minutes? Imagine one of your girls there for 10 minutes. No. Yes, line one.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
I'm mainly calling to apologise to you.
Oh. What? Pourquoi?
I used to watch the 11 o'clock show back in the day.
I should be apologising to you, then, sir.
Well, back then I would have been about 14, 15-ish, okay. I would guess.
Yeah. Who's that laughing in the background?
That's...
Who's that? Come on.
Bizarrely, my dog.
Your dog?
Your dog's laughing.
Your dog is laughing in the background at you. Jeez. What a cruel dog.
He's crying at the door.
Okay. All right. Go on, then.
So back in the day, obviously, you'd got pretty much your four channels and whatever was on was on.
Yeah, I know.
Tell
that to kids these days, they don't understand it. But you could watch stuff on your phones, yeah? What? We didn't have pocket telephones then. We did, they were rubbish.
So, I used to watch 11 o'clock show, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then totally lost track of your career.
No, listen, me as well, mate. I don't know what went wrong.
And then this is the interesting, weird thing. Oh. For no reason at all, whenever your name came up, something in my head just went, oh, what a tool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't even understand why.
No, it does though. That's upsetting to me that is the case. But then I have people who pop in my head. I mean, I'm looking at Catherine now, and the first thing I think is, oh, what a plum.
Well, this is a weird thing, and now I'm wondering if there's anybody else that I've done the exact same thing with, and I'm wondering what triggered it.
Well, let's not elicit a phone in where people phone up and tell me I'm a tool, maybe, because that might be a little bit hard for my ego to take. But
this is where the apology comes in.
Oh yeah, you don't have to apologise for thinking I'm a tool.
No, I feel I do.
Why? Well, you don't have. Why do you feel you have to? How do you know I'm not a tool?
In the context of what you present on the radio.
Okay, well, you don't need to apologise for that, you know, for thinking I'm a tool, but loads of people think I'm a tool, and I think loads of people are, you know, we all...
Stop looking at me when you say that.
No, we think that people are tools, you know, particularly people on TV and radio that we don't know, and most of the people I've met that I thought were tools were really nice people in the end and weren't tools, apart from Daniel Bedingfield. He was a tool. He is a massive tool. Get on.
I was going to say, the thing is, though, the interesting thing is, I can't even work out at what point that was sparked in my mind. Because I used to really enjoy the 11 o'clock show.
Yeah. And
I remember.
Yeah, it was all right. It had some good bits and pieces, you know, it was hit and miss. Well, listen, you're very, very kind. I've had a couple of people apologising me over the last couple of days for stuff they did years ago. I had someone on Twitter send me a very nice apology saying that he'd sent me a load of abuse about Lost, bizarrely, the TV programme Lost, and he said he was really sorry. And I said, oh, well, fair play, man, but I accept that, you know, all apologies are accepted here.
Well, if it wasn't for listening to you on Talk Radio, I'd have realised it pretty soon anyway, because I'm massive fans of Adam Buxton and Richard Herring. So, bizarrely, worlds are going to collide soon anyway.
Yeah, I know. It's all got the Adam Buxton. Have you heard the Adam Buxton podcast? I did.
I've got it downloaded. I've got a long trip to drive next week, so I'm saving it for that.
Okay. I think I talked too much in it.
No, I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah, I heard you.
I mean, Adam's such a nice man. He's such a gentleman in the true sense. I'm nervous about the Richard Herring one, if I'm honest, because Richard's coming on the show tomorrow at 10, and partly because I'm a huge fan, but also he seems so bombastic and forceful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, but I think it also depends on the guest and how they're playing along with him. So. Yeah.
So don't be a tool, is what you're saying.
Don't be a tool. Maybe you'll listen to them, and you'll think, oh no, I was right. Yeah, he's a tool. Yeah, I was right. Hey, well, listen, man, nice to talk. I'm going to move on because I can see the phone lines flashing. Thank you very much indeed. That was a great call. Line two, you're on the wireless.
I'm confused. Why would you put a finger up your child's bum during a dog attack? Is it some sort of punishment?
Yes. In many ways. It would go up the dog's bottom. That's how they release their grip.
I don't believe that, really.
It's true. I release my grip.
You shouldn't be doing this.
Sorry? Okay, well, you shouldn't
that
be
was
doing
Leon from Gogglebox.
Never seen it. Never will. Never seen it. Never will. I don't miss television programmes.
No, well, I don't now. I watch Gogglebox. It shows the best bits. I don't need to watch the whole thing.
Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hey, Ian, it's Paul in Canada.
Hello, Paul in Canada. Oh, Canada.
Oh, fancy, yeah, all the way.
All the way in Canada.
All the way, mate. Yeah, your equivalents, actors' equivalent. I think I've got one.
God, it's a tough old game, this, but go on.
I'll go with Richard E. Grant and Elizabeth Hurley.
Well, one can act.
I'll have that. I've just come up with one.
Go on.
Lofty from It Ain't Our Fault, Mum, and Mrs. Slocum's pussy. Mrs. Slocum.
I don't really remember Lofty.
Oh, Lofty! You're a lovely boy.
Was it Lofty in EastEnders?
No. Well, Lofty was, but this was Lofty in... all right, I'm going to say it. Lofty looks a bit like Id.
Right. Because looks like a young Alf from Home and Away, doesn't he?
No, he looks like Don Estelle.
Don the Flaming Crows.
It looks like Don Estelle. Let me get your picture up of Don Estelle. Don Estelle. There we go. Let's get a picture.
I was thinking about... Don
Estelle is Lofty. There he is. There he is. There's Ed.
I can kind of see that. Even I'm going to admit to seeing that.
was that the really short guy?
Yeah!
With the bottle-bottom glasses.
Yeah. Don Estelle.
Okay. But I was thinking about Liz Hurley too, what her alternative would be, but I couldn't think of anyone quite as wooden.
Hey, I'm going to say it. Liz Hurley is one of the most beautiful women in the world.
No, she is.
No, she is. She is one of the most beautiful, sexy, and I don't mean slutty, I mean sexy, really sexy, beautiful women. Do you agree with me, Paul?
She had a lot of work done.
I bet she has. Oh, you. But honestly, I think she is so beautiful. I tell you another woman who's beautiful. The two most beautiful women in the world. Liz Hurley and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, I don't get it.
Yo!
No, I don't think so.
No, mate. Well, then that makes it even easier for me then to move in on her. Nicole Kidman. And I watched her in a film on a plane, right? And I just watched her. It was like, I don't want to watch this film. It was her and James Bond and zombies or something, right? I thought, I don't want to watch this. I watched it. I fell completely head over heels in love with her. She is stunning.
I don't get it.
And Shania Twain. Those three.
That I understand.
Those three.
I'll give you that.
I understand Shania Twain. I don't understand Nicole Kidman. Yeah. And I don't understand Liz Hurley.
Well, good.
So go for it.
Makes it easier. Paul, thank you very much indeed.
Because obviously if I cracked on with them, they would definitely turn.
0844 499 1000.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I was supposed to call because of my Periscope.
Sorry?
I was told to call this radio. Is this Talk Radio?
Yes, who told you to call?
I don't know. Someone came into my Skype and said, call Talk Radio, call this number.
Right.
And they must look for you. Is this me and me?
Yeah. What? Are you on a phone or a box?
I'm on a phone.
Are we on speakerphone?
Yeah, should I take off?
Yeah, speakerphone's rubbish, man. It's awful.
Sorry, my followers want to hear what you have to say. So,
well, who are you?
I am no one, but someone came into my scope. The title of my scope was to scope or not to scope.
Yes,
and I was asked if I could call in and discuss it. I don't know why I'm that interesting, but
okay.
That's what I was asked.
Well, you don't. Well, not by me. But that's nice that you were.
No, it was. It was by. Guys, can you remember the username? ML29-something-1. I don't know.
That is random. Literally random letters. So,
well, how did you get my number then? Because you guys called me.
No, I didn't. You called us.
No, I didn't.
Well, you did. You phoned up, and it came up on the screen, and I touched the screen, and you came straight to air.
Oh, that's weird. So what do you guys talk about?
Well, it's not weird. That's what happened. I'm curious as to why you would pretend that that's not what happened.
I'm genuinely not pretending. Look, I have proof. Oh, shit, I deleted the scope.
Right, OK. What's your language, fella? What's your language? Because we're on the radio.
Sorry.
You have no proof that we phoned you up because we did not phone you up. You phoned us up.
I'll tell you what. I have proof that I received the call.
Not from us, you didn't.
I received the call and I answered it and you picked
that's,
it up.
Well, that's not... Mate, as far as I'm concerned, you're that's simply not true. And I don't know why you're lying to your Periscope followers. I don't know if it's to try and sound big or clever.
Because
that's not true. And you know it's not true.
I'm kind of hurt.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am. No, you're not.
Feelings. No, I haven't. No, I haven't, because you know that you're lying.
I'm actually emotionally unstable right now.
Okay, well, maybe you should put the phone down then, because it's not really working, is it? I don't know what you were hoping to get out of this. You've mentioned your Periscope, but it's not really working. So should we end now as friends?
Yeah, what did you say to me, Mike?
Pardon?
What did you say your name was?
I didn't. You've put us on speakerphone again.
Yeah.
Okay, I asked you not to because we can't hear you very well.
It's difficult without speakerphone, I've got to be on it.
Okay, well, I think you should probably put the phone down there, because it's not really working.
All right, fair enough. Shout out to Mr. Toffee Crunch, by the way, and Petalhead 1572, because...
Okay, thanks a lot. That didn't work. That was weird, wasn't it? That was uncomfortable listening. It was uncomfortable talking, and imagine uncomfortable listening. Mm. That was weird, wasn't it? He was obviously trying to get a plug for his Periscope, the name of which I've already forgotten. There are cleverer ways of doing it. You can phone up and plug your Periscope if you want. I don't suppose anyone will go. But don't lie like that. I mean, he was obviously doing a little piece, and fair play to him. No one phones up radios and does little pieces anymore. No one does little pieces, and I kind of, you know, respect him for that. But it was rubbish. Mm. But it was kind of the first prankish call we've had, which is
again,
weird.
Kids on half term, seriously do not do mushrooms. Or you might imagine people are calling your phone.
That was quick. That was very quick. That was very, very quick, wasn't it?
These robots.
I think I've back counted properly. We'll see how we get in 10 minutes. That was.
See, the flaw in his plan was that you were the person that picked up the phone.
Yeah.
Because how would... Well, anyway.
Well, he wanted a piece of the Periscope pie. It's not how it works, buddy. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Ian, I'll be your handler and you'd be my bitch dog.
Okay, thanks very much for calling. That was the most terrifying call I've ever received in my life. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello, did you just ring me? I'm only joking. Hello, lovely to speak to you, mate.
That was weird, wasn't it?
It was, man. Like, what's that guy's game?
And also, to do something like that on a bit of the show where it's straight to air anyway, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, what an ill thought. Hey, listen, I'm all up for the pranks, and this show doesn't really... There's no point in pranking this show because...
You can't prank a prankster.
We can't prank a prankster. That. And also, the show is so fluid that there's no reason to do that.
The reason for a prank is to upset a balance. There is no balance, is there?
No.
But I like prank phone calls. If anyone wants to have a go, beautiful.
Lovely.
Be cleverer than that guy.
We liked Farmer John. That was a good... I mean, that wasn't a prank.
That wasn't a prank,
mate.
He
seriously was 28.
That was a proper farmer driving a Jaguar something, something, something. And the barn opened at four.
Four. And sold puppy fowls.
Ah, dear. Never mind. Anyway, what you got for us?
Couple of things, really. Yeah. I just want to say fantastic, fantastic show. Absolutely love what you're doing. I'm live in Cornwall. I work in the radio industry, but not quite as big as you.
We're not quite
love
as big
what
as
you
us,
do.
Either. Well, you're very kind. What do you do in radio, then?
I work for a local radio station, assistant broadcaster. But
is it BBC one?
If I could do half of what you've done in your career, I'd be chuffed, mate.
Well, you get sacked as many times as I have. And you say, now, assistant broadcaster is only a phrase I've heard used in the BBC.
It's not, no.
Okay.
It's not, but I have worked for them.
Okay.
That'd be a broadcast assistant.
How are you finding it? You enjoying it?
Absolutely love it, mate. It's always been into radio.
Are you making a living out of it?
Love what you do.
Are you making a living out of it?
Yeah, that's what it's my full-time job.
Well, that's not bad, is it? And I'm giving lots of talks at the moment at schools and colleges and stuff, and it's really dawning on me This is the best job. This is the best. It's not the most well-paid job I've ever had. It pays all right, but this is the best job I could do because I love it.
There have been moments for both of us where we've thought, right, what happens if we sack this off? And I couldn't do anything else, I don't think. Not really.
Well, I took the plunge about sort of about 10 months ago. Like, I was working in a hospitality and doing sort of radio work, and I, you know, took the plunge and fully went into it. And now I've hopefully got something lined up in London. So,
London! Oh! Well, fingers crossed, man. I hope it works out, because if you love it, I think there's nothing like radio. There's nothing like it. It's much better than TV in terms of the control you get and the spontaneity of it and the instant reaction you get to it. So I wish you the very best of luck, man.
Thank you very much. And also, you're missing, you know, you can be completely naked on the radio as well, and no one knows.
All right, fella. All right. I see what's going on
there. Cornwall, eh?
Pervert FM. Blimey. Do you remember there was a big thing, and he's right. The joy of radio, from one of the initial joys when I did a breakfast show on TV, is you had to shave every day and have makeup, and there was someone who would dress you and all this stuff. And radio don't matter what you look like.
Yeah, but I always like to dress up because otherwise I would turn into a right slob. I would.
All right, Wayne.
I've been there. Once you're in that cardio, it's very hard to get out of it.
What was I going to say? Anyway, 0844 499 1000. I couldn't do anything else.
Could, but I wouldn't be happy.
I was so lucky. I got the job at LBC because it came. I got it in I got 2 weeks cover work in September of the year after I'd done Rise, and I'd worked once that year, hosting a show with Holly Willoughby on ITV, a one-off show, and. I didn't get anything. And then I got 2 weeks cover at LBC. And thank Christ I did, because even though I took 3 days off sick in the 2 weeks cover...
You idiot.
Yeah. They offered me a job. And if I hadn't got that job, I was skint. I was living like a lunatic. I'd spent all my money, all my savings. Couldn't pay a tax bill I had coming up. Boy, oh boy. You know, It was really, really tight. And if that hadn't come up, I would have been screwed. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have been Simon D getting a job as a bus driver. There's a reference for the kids. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Last few minutes. The dying embers of the show. I've only got one other story written down.
Go on, let's talk about it.
I don't know what it is. I can't read what I've written. It's page 19 of the Mail. Let's have a little look. Oh, it's these idiots, yeah.
Oh, they live with a bear.
Look at these idiots. The day that a monkey's been shot because he tried to have it away with a child.
No, he didn't.
We don't know that. We don't know what would have happened. So are they, honestly, they're up. I know people who are listening who will go, well, an animal's life is just as, if not more important than a human's. No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Put your kid in there.
Human every single time. Human every single flipping loads of children. Shut up. Shoot the monkey straight away. Rescue the kiddie. Then there's these idiots. What, are they Russian? Yeah, I could tell from his face he was a Russian.
Let me see.
Look at his Russian face.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That bear one day is going to turn around and rip their heads off.
Yeah,
and then
of course.
They'll go, oh, we never saw that coming.
Yeah, of course it is. It's going to destroy them.
I would say, I never saw that coming.
He never saw that coming. Bear was like a good friend to him. I never saw it coming. But I will still not shoot bear, even though he eat husband's face.
It's not every day a 47-stone, 7-foot brown bear joins you for tea. Actually, it is for Russian couple Svetlana and Yuri.
I knew she was going to call Svetlana.
Well, listen to her last name, Pantilinko. They adopted their cuddly giant as a cub and named him Stepan. While they stopped short of telling him not to put his furry elbows on the table, Stepan... I mean, what? They deserve to be eaten alive.
They watched too much Paddington.
Yes, line one.
Good afternoon,
well,
Globule.
There we go. There's something I didn't think I would hear. Catherine, pick a national anthem, any national anthem from any country.
Okay. Well, let's go Russia.
Can you do the Russian national anthem?
It's not one of the ones I've learnt off heart, but I've got the book in front of me.
Oh, there you go. Well, which are the ones you've learnt off heart?
There are 25 to choose from.
You can't sing the Spanish one because it's got no words.
Reth fla murit per bashkuar, banye de shir, banye chelim, te ti thatiau dup keu batuar, te lithim besen per spertim. Pre luft de vecha yular go het je öste lindur travetor kusches de burre nuk friko het pov des in je de schmor.
Nice to speak to you, John. Globule. We'll speak again when we've got more. If you call before 12, we call you back, all right?
Vestibule.
Thank you very much indeed. That's John Looney. I've not spoken to him.
What's with the Buell?
I've not spoken to him in 8 years. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how these... He was tweeting me. I thought, he won't phone. And he did. He flipping phoned.
What's with the globule thing?
He's nuts.
Oh, that's just...
He's nuts!
Okay.
Met him once.
And?
He's nuts! It's probably the last call of the night. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Медведь, она очень дружелюбная, не будет убивать нас с надеждой.
Thanks very much indeed. You know, that's how we ended the show. I can never tell. I can't always tell if it's been a good show or a bad show, mm-hmm. because the shows are so unlike anything I've done before that I have no frame of reference. Like I knew the Thursday show with the Periscope was a good show. Mm-hmm. Knew that
because we did a thing.
Did a thing. But I don't know if this is I don't know if this is a good show. I'm not looking for people to just say, "Oh, this is a good show." I don't know if this is a good show or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I like the Shadow Man. I liked the Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. We never really got to the bottom of Sasquatch. What a big hairy bottom that was. Dear listener, there will be a podcast. We will be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I leave you with this.
What is that? Is that a guitar?
No, it's called a zither.
Can you play this?
Not very well at all. My dad had one. He was really good.
Will you play it?
It's...
Please.
Okay.
Stand straight. Fall back in line. Get to work on time. Everyone in the big machine tries to break your heart and pull you underneath. Maybe I'm wrong and all that you get is what you see. Maybe I'm right and there's something out there. Everybody's talking in their sleep. They push a lot of air around, but don't say much of anything. Except when they laugh at me like ghosts under a sheet. Everybody's talking in their sleep.
I messed up a bunch of parts, but that's basically what it is.
So good.
Shut up.
So good.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.